you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Kevin, Bean, Ralph, Kevin, Bean, Lisa, Kevin, Bean, shut up, Bean.
Die, Mike.
That was flawless and unbelievably molten hot.
Thank you. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. Thank you. Okay, we're back. Thank you.
How do you think the show's going so far?
I think it's weak.
This is why I drink. This is why I drink.
Hey, listen, anytime you want me to come on and say something, just you know, and if you want to say on the air, I've been on the phone with David Hasselhoff all night. You know, the Hoff loves to rock.
And now, we hope you have a good time. We hope you enjoy yourselves, and I thank you all for coming. And what do I do now? What?
Thank you very much. I think it's safe to say that the opening went pretty darn good.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. It's 5:31 on Wednesday, the 28th of May. I see that.
Welcome to Hooterville.
Sorry. Ooh, sorry. My bad.
No, my bad. That was a bad delivery.
Let's try it again. Try it one more time.
It's the 28th of May. I see them.
Bobby!
There we go.
Better. All right. Well done.
Now we're set. Freaking Dave, by the way. How many people? Let's tally up how many people Dave has gotten sick in the last 2 weeks.
Oh, I know.
Patient zero. Let's start with you, Kevin. How was your weekend?
I was Thursday night I started getting sick. Friday I was miserable. And then all weekend I was in bed. Monday I kind of got up and got around and went to see Raiders of the Lost Ark, the new one, Indiana Jones.
Uh-huh. So how would you rate that holiday?
I would rate that holiday weekend quite poor. All because of Dave.
I know Alex was really sick as well.
Yep. Yeah. Still is.
Who else got it from Dave?
I don't know.
I think that's it. I didn't.
Me.
You.
I don't know how he did it, but he did it.
Oh, you're sick too?
Dude, it's been a long time since I've been as sick as I was last night up until around 4 a.m.
Good times.
You know how you always used to advise, Kevin? This was good advice that you've given for many years, which is if you ever call in sick or if anyone ever asks, just say these words, liquid from the waist down, and no one will ever press you for more details.
Don't even want to know that much. Thank you.
Yeah. But I probably did lose 20 pounds.
Well,
I had that going for me.
It's a good diet.
But this morning at around 3, I think, I had that, and it's been so long, I forgot how bad this was, the super, 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 super chills where your teeth are chattering and you cannot get warm for anything, no matter how many blankets you put on. You're just freezing. I mean, you feel like you're laying at the South Pole.
That's so fun.
You're so cold, you feel like you're going to die.
Yeah.
Had that going on. Got up, took a big, big hot shower.
You had a fever, dude.
I know. But stupid Dave. Tell me how he did it. I don't know how he
Dave
did it.
Dave can send that through the email, dude.
That's what I'm afraid of. I'm convinced it was Dave, though.
Miss Clear, our phone screener?
Is she sick, too?
Had a cold.
Oh, my God.
All from patient zero.
And here's the thing with Dave. He bounces back really fast. Like, he had that cold and was done with it 2 days later, pretty much.
Yeah. Took me about 4.
When you blacked out.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, because he palmed it off on everybody else.
Yeah.
Does it lessen his cold when he gives it away? Does it lessen his?
The more people you can give it to, the faster you get better.
No wonder.
So he's fine, and everybody else is buying plots.
Son of a bitch.
So anyway, I was cursing the king's name this morning. I got news for you.
Let go.
Yeah.
Come on.
It was hardly a runaway, I'll tell you that.
The shoes are back. It was not a runaway, but they were up all game.
San Antonio tied 5 times, but never had the lead.
They came out gangbusters.
That's quite a game.
Oh, they did.
They did everything they could to give me a coronary. Because they were up by like 14, a good 5 minutes in the game. I'm like, good, all right, smooth sailing.
Solid, right?
Right.
I like this.
Wait. Did you say smooth sailing out loud?
I did.
Oh!
Why, is that a curse?
Yes! You might as well say, well, we got this one in the bag.
No.
Well, put this in the W column.
I didn't say that. I made no reference to
it. You said smooth sailing.
You're right. Maybe I should have said that. But either way, the Lakers did everything they could to keep San Antonio in the game and make me want to kill myself.
The Spurs did chip away at that all game long. They did not give up, that's for sure.
Yeah, it was one of those where you just kept going, okay, now, give us a little breathing room, and then it didn't happen.
But officially, listen, K-Rock listeners, I officially want you to stop emailing and calling with this goddamn curse. Because
what
I will
curse?
Point out... Exactly. Because I will point out that you talked to Lamar Odom last week.
That's correct.
Right
huh?
before they destroyed the Spurs for 30.
That's right.
And you talked to a Mr. Pau Gasol yesterday, right before he went on to have a great game and help the Lakers win.
That's right.
In San Antonio.
That's
Thank
right.
Thank you.
Thank you. No, you're right. There's no curse. There's absolutely no curse. So.
So the next game is it's here on Friday? Saturday? Friday?
What's today? Today's,
today's Wednesday.
Wednesday.
It's either Thursday.
Tomorrow.
Or Thursday or Friday. Yeah,
might be tomorrow, yeah.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
So what's the deal, Kevin? I know that there are official rules and there are unofficial rules. Do the officials just tend to not want to call a foul in the final seconds of a game?
Yeah, they don't want their decision.
Because they don't want
to...
a game to end on a free throw,
right? And that was a foul. But
it
Brent,
really was.
But Brent Berry, is that his name?
That's right. Look, yeah.
Guy that looks like he has AIDS. He he did everything wrong. You don't dribble and you don't try to get out of the way. You jump up into the guy and it's a call 99 out of 100 times.
And the truth is that they shouldn't have thrown it to Brent Berry. I bet you, I got dollars to donuts that says Tony Parker would have got that call. Tim Duncan would have got that
call. Of course. They all know what to do.
At the end of the game, they're not going to make that. They're going to swallow their whistle on a guy like Brent Berry. Even the Spurs that you can hear in the post-game interviews and stuff, they're like, well, you know, they're not going to call that. We're not going to sit here and whine about it because it just wasn't a foul in that situation.
Lisa, there were 2 seconds left, and San Antonio had the ball, and they threw it into Brent Berry and tried to get him to, you know, to sink one to win it,
mm-hmm.
or a three-pointer to win it, a two-pointer to tie it. But he got hit in the head, I guess. Derek Fisher hit him in the head coming down after trying to block him.
Yeah.
And, you know, San Antonio, Brent Berry was standing there going, hey, ref, got his hands out. Hey, what's up with that? How about a call here?
Yeah, he blew it.
End of game. That was it. Yeah.
Wow.
You know what the truth is, though, in the NBA, especially in the playoffs, they can call a foul on every play.
Yes,
I mean, there is
right.
contact. And
there are games sometimes where they do, and it's miserable.
Yeah.
So you're saying he blew it because he didn't, like, flop or something?
No. He didn't he got the guy off his jumping off his feet.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, you jump up to shoot. And you just kind of lean into him a little bit. You get to call 100% of the time. It's the defense's fault.
I see.
But he kind of dribbled and tried to get out of the way so he could get a clear shot.
I see.
If they called a foul past the three-point line, he wouldn't have got 3 shots. He would have only got 2.
Right.
Because he wasn't shooting. He was stupid.
I love, I don't know if you saw Kobe's interview afterward, but he handled it so well. They got to him right at the end of the game to ask about that controversial last shot. And listen to what he had to say. This is priceless.
Well, Kobe, it came down to a last second possession. The Spurs felt Brent Berry was fouled on the last play. Did you get a look at it? And what are your thoughts on their contention that he was fouled?
No foul.
No foul. You saw it? You got a look at it?
No foul.
All right.
Why open that can of worms? Well, yeah. Well, I could see how somebody might say that. Well, they certainly could have called it that way. Nope, just no foul.
That's one of those that
it
depends on who you're rooting for, because I could totally see that shouldn't have been called.
Yeah,
however,
it was unfortunate that that's how it ended.
I was fine with it. If I was a San Antonio fan, I imagine there's plenty to say that it should have been called too. So
yeah,
that happens.
Just got an email from the Ask a CSI guy that we had in last week.
Oh, cool.
He got sick starting Saturday morning. Thanks, Dave, says Chris.
Oh,
really?
No.
Yeah, wow.
Dave was deep kissing him apparently when he came
in.
Wow.
He's face down in cadavers all day. I mean, can he really be automatically blaming Dave?
Well,
I don't know
he's been
if
doing
can
that.
Get sick from a cadaver.
Can you get a cold from a cadaver?
Yeah.
How do you
but
know?
He's been doing that job for 12 years, Mike. I think he knows what's going on with that. But Dave is the wild card, man.
Why is he face down in a cadaver?
Good point.
How does that work exactly?
We were filming Cold and Clammy last week.
And
we didn't want to tell
anyone. Oh. You know, they got that Girls and Corpses magazine. You've seen that, right, Mike?
But they kind of make women look like as if they're recently passed?
Yes.
Yeah,
really?
Is,
yeah, people were turned on by that.
Kind of
yeah.
Odd, yeah.
Are you kidding
Girls
me?
And Corpses. It's
that
something
is,
else.
That is huge with, like, the heavy metal crowd. I mean, obviously. The
girls. And the Germans.
Yeah.
Yeah. Girls in Corpses?
And. Girls in Corpses.
Oh, that does not sound good. Let's talk to them.
Wow, that is quite the fetish.
Really? Who knew that existed?
That's a little scary.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay.
All right.
Today we are going to try and settle the... settle the argument of Han Solo versus Indiana Jones.
Mm.
Which Harrison Ford character is better?
Interesting.
Han Solo, Indiana Jones.
They're both kind of yummy in their young years.
Sure.
What do you think about that?
We are going to talk to LaQuisha.
Oh, right.
Reviewing A Shot at Love 2 with Tila Tequila.
Yeah.
This time she's really in it for love, by the way. She's not screwing around.
I hear that's true.
She had her heart broken last time, you guys.
That's what we hear, too. Yeah, whatever. Also, we have we're going to ask what the hell's going on with the Sex and the City and why.
And we'll try and help you out, but you guys are dense. I don't know how far we're going to get. We'll try.
Well, they need to stop it with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, good luck.
They
good luck with that.
It. Can we just
you
ask?
You stand in front of the tidal wave. Go ahead.
If we ask nicely?
No.
No? Please stop.
No.
Wouldn't it be awesome if they came out with a statement today and said, you know what? We've reconsidered. We heard Kevin and Bean's show Wednesday. We reconsidered. We're not going to put the movie out after all.
We're not going to do it. They're right.
Uh-huh.
Michael Jackson was at UFC over the weekend.
Well, of course he was.
Wearing a full burqa.
Why wouldn't he be?
In a wheelchair.
Why would he be?
Why would he be in a wheelchair? Is that to throw people off?
I don't know. I don't know.
He's the best.
Tell me, though, if he is he aware enough to think this way? If he had the chance to go back 25 years, would he not do all the stuff he's done to his body? Do you think he wakes up every day and regrets it, or do you think he's happy with the way he ended up?
I can't imagine that he's happy with the way he ended up, but I don't know. I don't know. I doubt he would go back and change everything.
He's had to have so many surgeries on his nose because it did start to sort of disintegrate.
There must have been
a point where he said, oof, I went too far.
I blew it. It was a mistake.
Yeah.
Remember that old nose I had that was healthy?
Yeah.
It's shocking if you ever see just the Thriller album cover. If you ever come across the album Thriller, you can't believe it's the same guy. I mean, it doesn't look like the same human. It's almost like they put him in some sort of witness relocation program and gave him plastic surgery so he was 100% unrecognizable from that young, attractive black man that he used to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a good call. Dodgers are having stitch and pitch night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Woo-hoo! That's going to be fun. We're going to have a Kevin and Bean singles party, take over a whole section, and we're going to stitch.
Are we?
Nope, we're not. Also, former sports guy Matt Money Smith talking about the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
He was there last night.
He was not wearing the shoes. He had them with him. He did not have them on his feet last night, by the way.
Listen, that was my fear on the game before when the Lakers lost.
Well, we'll ask him about that.
Son of a bitch. Plus, don't forget, we are still giving you chances to spend the weekend with The Cure. You got free tickets to the Bowl and to the Shrine. So keep listening for that. That's coming up this morning.
Dave's the disease, by the way.
Who's The Cure? Ah!
Exactly.
All right. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph. Showbiz Beat, that is next. I've never heard anyone complain about a Best Hunks list before.
Lisa?
I'm with you.
Well, if Lisa totally was complaining bogus. About it,
well,
fine.
I didn't know about it.
Mike said, we got to call OK Magazine. They put out a list of the 50 hottest hunks for the year, and listen to some of the guys they chose.
No, all right, listen, Ralph.
Shut up. Just shut up. There's nothing well you can done. Say. If Lisa complains about the hottest hunks list, it makes sense
right.
because she has, oh, what are they called again? A vagina.
He's upset about the top 50 hunks list.
Simon Cowell?
Yes!
That's stupid.
A picture of his man boob flopping around the beach. Look at this hunk.
Right, but here's the thing. Most of us would see that list. We would see top 50 hunks.
And I'm done.
Just move on to
I'm
whatever.
Out. I'm not getting down to number 13, right. wherever Simon ended up. It's not happening.
You just move on. Who cares?
I feel bad for the guys who deserve
it. Oh, for God's
I feel bad
sakes.
For you.
You shouldn't.
Yeah, well, we do. We all do.
Horrible.
1, 2, 3, circle suck. 4, 5, 6, Mike's gay.
Please.
5:50 Wednesday morning, but it feels like Tuesday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here with our first peek at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Are we going to do that all week? It's Tuesday.
Yes.
It feels like Monday. It's Wednesday. It feels like Tuesday. It's Thursday, but it feels like Wednesday. And then
I just
Friday.
Feel like first thing in the morning, people may need a little help because they do get a little discombobulated.
Hey, they don't know what day of the week it is. Just shame on them.
Our listeners, about 50% it's on any given day.
Holiday weekend or no holiday weekend.
When does the time change happen? Because it's almost noon out there right now.
It's getting light.
Very light.
Yeah.
Sun was up this morning at 2 a.m. for some reason.
Usually, and as soon as that starts happening, they kick you right in the teeth with the time change. When does that happen?
Being especially for us, because it's so nice to get into work with a little light in the sky so you don't feel like you're Dracula.
Yeah.
I think it already happened for this year. It happened a few weeks ago. Time change.
We already sprung forward?
We already sprung.
Oh,
yeah, we already sprung
right.
forward.
They did it early.
And then it changes again in November.
Well,
they keep, they keep monkeying with it.
November.
So it's this bright for a long time?
Yeah, it's going to be
the summer
brighter.
Months, we always get a little sunlight in the summer months.
So many time change.
Hey, it's light till 10 p.m. at my house already.
Yeah, that blows.
Awesome.
Wow.
Are you kidding? It's fantastic. Talk about feeling like you get your money's worth out of each day.
That's why Seattle is known as the land of the midnight sun.
I wasn't aware of that. I had not heard that.
You get your money out of each day? Your money's worth?
You get your money's worth, yeah, because, I mean, as opposed
what
to...
What does a day cost up there, Bean?
This is from a guy who goes to bed at 7, right, by the way, who is losing money on the day, if that's the case, because there's like 9 hours of sunshine you're not taking advantage of.
I need to go to bed long before the sun goes down.
There's a big difference in how you feel when the sun goes down at 4:30, which it does in December, versus 10 p.m., which it does in June. It's just, it's...
Don't move someplace bad.
How much difference is going to make if your eyes are closed because you're sleeping and you can't see the sun?
Let's move on with whatever Ralph is talking about that doesn't involve
that's
me.
Better than
whatever
this.
You say. You tell us to move on, then we're moving on because,
right,
you know,
let's do it.
You're the guy.
Time for the showbiz beat.
Time for the showbiz beat. How about that Lindsay Lohan, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Now what?
Do you see the photos of her making out with her girlfriend, Samantha Ronson?
No. Are they hot? Because
Samantha Ronson is not hot.
I know she's not.
Lindsay Lohan is hot. However, they were making out at the Cannes Film Festival on board P. Diddy's yacht.
Lindsay Lohan.
They were at a party and going at it. And this has once again sparked rumors that the two are engaged in a torrid lesbian love affair. Here's the newest rumor. Lindsay has been spotted with a huge rock on her finger.
Yes.
And tabloids are going nuts with the rumor that Lindsay and Samantha may be ready to take advantage of California's newly minted same-sex marriage law and go ahead and get married.
I think they're just having a big laugh at everyone.
Yeah. You don't think they're even a couple?
No.
Just friends?
I think they're just having a really good time.
Callum Best, Lindsay's ex-boyfriend, tells the Daily Star in England that the ring is for real and it's not a publicity stunt.
Mm-hmm.
Friends are also claiming that she's been referring to herself as Lindsay Ronson. A name she also uses on her Facebook.com.
How does she?
And her father, Michael Lohan, has been rumored on saying that he is, the love affair, he says, is evident to anyone with half a brain, according to Us Weekly magazine.
All right. Who's denying it? Is it just, we don't, is anyone denying it?
No, but no one's
but no one believes it because she's ugly?
So we're just waiting to see what happens.
Too ugly.
Lindsay Ronson. Will Smith, speaking of marriage, says he's figured out the perfect way to stay married. Take the word divorce out of your vocabulary. He says that he and his wife, Jada Pinkett Smith, decided early on that splitting up just wasn't an option. And since they're going to be together forever, they might as well be happy, they decided.
Okay. That, by the way, is how many couples used to handle it. Generations ago. That was just the deal. When you got married, it was understood you were going to stay married forever.
Yeah.
But they didn't make the decision to be happy. They just made the decision
they just
to stay
together
married.
They just were miserable.
It out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Will said divorce might become of their vocabulary if they took the words community property out of his vocabulary as well. But since they have not, apparently it's just not an option.
I do feel like many couples, and you certainly report on plenty of them during the showbiz beat, they are very quick to divorce these days. It seems like, well, rough patch. See ya.
Quick to marry, quick to split.
Sure, right.
That seems to be the current trend. Kim Kardashian and Reggie Bush apparently are getting close to the altar. Star Magazine says that Kim bumped into jeweler Jerry Rackover and told him that she wanted him to meet Reggie and help him design her wedding ring. Apparently, Reggie Bush then bumped into Jeffrey Rackover as well, and Jeffrey Rackover knocked him down. Because Reggie cannot go up against anyone.
Can't sustain a hit.
Can only play in open space. So yeah,
could have sidestepped him. He would have been fine.
Little jeweler just knocked him right in his ass. Sad. Reality show TV news. Matthew McConaughey's brother is getting his own reality show.
Whoa,
great.
Have you seen him? I've never seen him.
Matthew McConaughey's
brother. Rooster.
No.
Rooster McConaughey.
Is getting his own show.
Rooster.
It will be on True TV. You guys locked into the True TV channel?
No,
you just can't
that?
Help but watch True TV?
Yes.
What? Yes.
What is True TV?
Oh, what does it exist?
No, yes, it does. It used to be Court TV.
Yeah, didn't watch Court TV, watching True TV.
Big fan of Court, what used to be Court TV, now True TV. I like it.
So is it the same kind of programming?
There's a lot of court
it's like Forensic
stuff?
Files and court shows and stuff like that.
What's Rooster going to do on that channel?
I don't know.
He's going to do a show called Black Gold, where contestants will vie to find oil in the state of Texas.
I've seen that
so
advertised.
He's hosting it?
Yes.
I've seen okay. that.
Rooster, Rooster will supply the pipe for drills.
Uh-oh.
And wow. help the contestants along. Rooster, by the way, this is the brother of Matthew McConaughey, who named his son Miller Lite McConaughey.
Yeah.
After his favorite beer. God bless the South.
Is he an actor?
I do not believe so, sir.
I've never heard of him before.
I believe except for that Rooster story about actually Miller Lite. Does work in the oil industry. I believe he is actually a rigger.
I've seen commercials for that. I think it's for that show. And it looked like it was a reality show based on people who do that. Not a game show, but just a reality show where they follow people around.
This,
I don't know. It could be wrong.
This says contestants vie to find oil.
All right.
So maybe they're other oil guys. Maybe that they just have amassed a group
could
of
be.
Oil workers, and then their challenge is to try to find the most oil or something. Maybe they're not pulling housewives from Schenectady or something. These are actual oil workers, but still, apparently it is a competition.
Wouldn't that be hugely like a bad show. Expensive, too? Drilling for oil is a hugely expensive thing to do.
Not when I drink your milkshake!
That's what they have to say when they get when they win.
I drink it!
And then the guy
this
has
is
to leave.
A straw. It goes under the ground the way you keep your oil.
I drink your milkshake.
Then I suck the oil out from under you. I drink your milkshake, huh?
Yeah, that's hot.
Why is everything so loud in my ears today?
Why
is it so loud?
Well, you have a volume control over there, Ralph.
No,
you
but everything else is normal, and then Bean makes me bleed.
Beans is a little loud today, but...
Stop it.
I'm sorry.
Just gotta let him know.
Stop.
Just gotta let him know.
Make him stop.
He'll turn it down.
Daddy, it hurts.
He'll turn it down.
Daddy, it hurts.
Yeah, that's hot.
There you go.
Very that's nice. Much better.
Bam Anderson?
Yeah, that's hot.
Yes.
Aww.
We can almost not hear that. Why are you whistling? Why is he whistling?
It sure sounds bad.
Let's make that stop.
It's the Andy Griffith.
Yeah, you know that theme? The guy
that was
Hayden,
the Andy Griffith?
The father of the TV theme song with over hundreds, literally hundreds of TV themes to his credit.
All whistling
is dead.
No, no. Not all whistling.
He's dead? I didn't even know he was sick.
That
okay,
guy.
Okay, now I get it.
That guy, dead. 88 years old. He wrote the Andy Griffith theme. That's him whistling, too, by the way.
Is it?
Yeah.
How about that?
Dick Van Dyke, Mod Squad, Make Room for Daddy, That Girl, dozens and dozens and dozens of others. So, dead. This is what he sounds like now when he whistles.
Touching tribute.
Yeah. We'll miss you, Earl. And the Smashing Pumpkins mark their 20th anniversary with a few special concerts this summer. The band's official website says the shows will probably be in New York, Los Angeles, and the... band's hometown of Chicago. Head pumpkin Billy Corgan says that DVD is in the works as well. Recorded at the group's performance last year at the Fillmore in San Francisco, as well as a bunch of other archival stuff, including demos and early live shows. So if you're a Pumpkin fan, this is a big year for you, the 20th anniversary.
Nobody cares.
Pumpkin's head man Billy also added, said for the 20th anniversary, he's going to do something new with the band and try to suck less. I think is interesting and a good idea. Today's celebrity birthdays. Oh, would you look? Would you look at the list?
We don't have it.
Wow. Look at these names.
We don't have it either?
We don't have the list.
You got Chris Bellew of the Presidency of the United States of America. He's 43.
Does he make the list, really?
Sure.
Okay.
Kylie Minogue.
Yes.
Turns 40 years old today. View co-host Elizabeth Hasselbeck. She's 31.
Bell or yes. no Bell?
No.
I think she's attractive
no.
enough.
She's,
but
she's horrible, but
she's a strong Satan.
No Bell. Okay.
Bell does not take into consideration.
No Bell.
Anything but hot.
I'm tempted to give her
I think
a Bell.
She's very attractive.
She's way hot. That's all there is to it. Everybody
sorry,
knows
Lisa.
A bit.
Yeah. Had to do it. Ruling.
You know, I want her dead, yes. but she's hot.
By the way, whatever happened to Colleen? Elizabeth Hasselbeck and Colleen are the two. The two I always
You're
think about. They were
beautiful.
From the early seasons of Survivor. They were both very young and very pretty. We see what happened to Elizabeth. Where's Colleen? She did that one Adam Sandler movie. Remember, she co-starred in that movie about the animal, right? And then dropped off the face of the earth. Where is she now?
She went back
Having
to
a
normal life.
Life.
She fell in love, got married, and moved on, and did not need to keep herself in fame's harsh spotlight any longer.
It's just so unusual. No one does that. They try to milk every last
Smart,
second
good
of potential
people do
fame.
It.
Yeah.
She also
like
did
her.
A chapstick commercial, remember?
No.
Oh, it was so good. She would rub it all over her lip.
You're beautiful, Colleen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you know it.
You're beautiful, Colleen. You're beautiful.
Remember that dude had a song for everybody on the island in the first season of Survivor?
He did. I love that guy.
Richard, awesome. How can you be fat? You're on an island.
Eating rice.
That's so great.
You're so fat.
Am I done, Bean?
It's up to you, Ralph.
No, I serve at the pleasure of the Bean.
Then you're dead.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It's not the type of game you could walk away from somewhat near the end. You pretty much had to hang out until the very last second to see how that one ended, huh?
Yes, you did. And it ended perfectly fine for me, okay?
Before he gets to Barry, here's Barry, fires one up, and that is it. Barry thought he was fouled before the shot attempt. Greg Popovich staring at the officials.
There's the pump fake, and there is the contact right there.
Oh, well.
Hate to see that happen.
It is. I do hate to see that happen, because I hate to see any game, particularly a playoff game, end on a controversy rather than on a decisive win. But it is very, very, very bleak for San Antonio Spurs fans right now to repeat as they have to head back to Los Angeles down 3-1.
Yes,
very tough.
Yes, they do. Here's Kobe.
Well, Kobe, it came down to a last-second possession. The Spurs felt Brent Berry was fouled on the last play. Did you get a look at it? What are your thoughts on their contention that he was fouled?
No foul.
No foul. You saw it? You got a look at it?
No foul.
I like the announcer says, so you got to look at it. Kobe doesn't even say, I saw it. No foul.
This is what happens when you give the ball to an ex-Clipper at the end of the game, man. You pretty much deserve it. You get what you pay for, and if you're going to give it to an ex-Clipper, then sorry, you lose.
So the Lakers are up 3-1. Yeah.
So basically, just get out of the way on Friday night. That's what your advice is, Lisa.
Stay home.
Pack of women are going to be out there just
don't go to the theaters because they're ours.
Guys, find something else to do on Friday night.
Yes.
Because the movie opened Sex and the City this weekend.
Right.
And there's a huge article at CNN.com about how girls aren't going to this really by themselves. This is a huge, we're going to get together with a big group, and we're going to go together. And we're going to hold hands, and we're going to cry.
I used to have Sex in the City parties.
Huh?
Not just a couple, but I had a couple of Sex in the City parties where a bunch of girlfriends came over and we've been dressed as our favorite character.
Oh, no.
And we had Cosmos.
No.
Come
on.
We had an awesome time.
Has there ever been a show in your estimation, Lisa, that has had the effect on women that this one has? I mean, there are a lot of shows that are popular with women, but this one seems to have taken it to the next level.
Oh yeah, I don't know anything else like this show. There's a bonding thing that we have with this show that's unique.
That is weird.
Just unique, special,
Fandango.
Lovely.
Fandango, which if you don't use it, it's a service where you can, you know, like movie phone, you can get the showtime information and buy your tickets in advance. They did a survey on Sex and the City. 67% of the people in the survey, it's not a scientific survey, obviously, but 67% said they're going to go see the film with a group of women. Only 6% said they were going with a man. 16% they were going with just one other woman. So by and large, it's really it's group time for this particular film.
Totally.
Now we got an email from our listener named Elizabeth. We have her on the phone. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Good morning, guys.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi. First, I have to say I'm going to have to agree with you guys that I think Dave got me sick.
Dave got you sick too,
just from listening to him on the radio?
Son of a bitch.
Just over the phone, the moment I heard Bean say, oh, my God, I think Dave got me sick, I said, oh, my God, that makes all the sense in the world.
It's Dave. He's patient zero.
Wow. I don't know how he does it, though. On the phone, on the radio, through email. If he if Dave texts you, you start to feel poorly. I don't know how he does it. It's crazy.
Elizabeth, I can heal you. Are you ready?
Why?
Here you go.
Oh, she's so happy.
So
happy. By the way, is there any theme to a movie or TV show that says men stay away more than this?
It's a little flimsy, if that's what you're asking.
Come on.
Elizabeth, Lisa May was just telling her, and I think she was just saying it for shock value, just for effect, that she used to have Sex in the City parties where she and her girlfriends would dress up like their favorite characters. That's crazy even for you, a hardcore fan, right?
I never did that. I would have friends that come over and watch it, but you know, I was one. I don't even think I was 21 yet, so we couldn't drink. But no,
right.
I would have friends come over, but you know, we didn't dress up. We would say, "Oh, I'm a Miranda, I'm a Carrie," but we wouldn't dress up.
What does that mean? I'm a Miranda.
Well, you do always identify with one of the women more than the others because they're very specific.
Oh, because they're
types
like
of
you?
Characters. Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
So, were you the Butch lesbian? Which one was that?
That was kind of Miranda.
Miranda, okay.
She was the least feminine of the bunch.
She was barely feminine at all.
But she was the more realistic one.
Probably, yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Wait. Is she the one who's played by actress Cynthia Nixon, who now is with a woman, now yes. is a lesbian?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Interesting that she would be manly. Interesting.
Yeah, that's
all right. So what are the types of the four women on the show? I know one of them is a whore, right?
One of them is sexually free. More like a guy.
And then the other then the other three are just bad?
Miranda is the lawyer. She works really hard. She's pretty serious. That's the redhead. Carrie, of course, is...
ugly face.
Carrie... I think Carrie, in some ways, is a composite of lots of different women. She's...
Yeah, that's the best way to
but
describe her.
A composite
her.
Of all bad women.
No.
Right? No?
She's kind of actually, in a way, very normal. So, I mean, she isn't like a caricature. The other women are a little bit of a caricature.
Is she the one that does the endless voiceovers on that show?
She does the voiceovers.
Yes. Oh,
and then Charlotte's the one who is very prim and proper and believes in true love and soulmates and sex
that's the,
with
that's
love.
The actress who has the sex tape out from a few years ago. That's that one, right?
Yeah.
Kristen Davis, the one with all the naked pictures
like how
on the
you're
internet.
I trying to make them sound so
awful. I'm just trying to keep them all straight. I'm just trying to remember who's who. Yeah.
My wife loves this show. She's going with a group of like 25 people. And she was trying to get me to go originally.
Oh, what a mistake.
And I know how to get out of a movie like this because there's been how many seasons?
Six.
Six seasons. Six. So, guys, if you need to get out of it, here's what you do. You just go... Hey, and just tell your girl you're going to do this because you're not all caught up. Who's that? Yeah? Mm-hmm. What? Have they been friends for a long time? Sorry. Who's the guy? Just do that all movie long, and they won't want you to go, and you're out.
I can't imagine why she would have asked you.
Well, I know. Yeah, she realized the error of her ways. Now, Elizabeth, there was something in your email about... Whenever you have a problem in life, you can think back to an episode of Sex and the City, and then you can. What would Sex and the City do?
Well, for instance, I'll use this example. When my grandmother passed away, my aunt left 20 minutes before. They never had like the greatest relationship, and I was kind of puzzled why she would do that. So I said to my mom and my sister, I was going to have my Aunt Mary watch the episode where Miranda's mother had passed away. And my sister said, oh, what season is that? I said, season 4, disc 2, episode 2, My Motherboard Myself.
What
you're good, Elizabeth.
God's name are you? Wow. What kind of cult have we uncovered?
Well, it's like you guys in baseball stats or whatever.
Yeah, well, that's how it used to be, Atlanta Braves stats, so now it's Sex and City stats.
Wow.
But, and I had my aunt watch it, and she thanked me profusely. She said, oh, my God, thank you so much.
All right, Elizabeth, I've got a little quiz for you. Which episode, which disc was this from?
If we can take the best of the other sex and make it our own, has the opposite sex become obsolete?
Blah, 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 blah.
Isn't that all of them? Isn't that every episode?
I think that's season 2.
That's correct, every episode. Do you know, Elizabeth?
I want to say season 2.
Yeah.
I want to say that's Evolution.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm trying to...
Yeah, it doesn't
know,
matter.
Kevin?
No, I don't know.
Know.
Of course I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it's season 2.
Look, here's the point. I think Bean is the one that answered it correctly. That's every episode.
Yes, that's true.
Every episode addresses
the problem
issues.
With this show is that it's so unbelievably female oriented that guys are literally told, "Go away, we don't want you."
Yeah, what's the problem?
That's
I don't
the problem.
Understand the problem
because there are a lot of like romantic comedies that come out and they're done well, and guys don't mind going with a girl to that.
But,
not this though. This is a man hating show. That's
it's
what
not
this
a man hating show. It's just for us
who hate men.
No. Every episode addresses different issues in relationships.
Exactly.
One was about Charlotte started dating a guy who wasn't circumcised, and she'd never had that before. And every woman in the group had a different experience with that. So those are issues that really come up for you. There was another one where...
I feel like Spencer right now. You know what I mean?
You see your lips moving, but she's not saying anything that makes sense to you?
How about this is... Here's
That's
what,
why we hate you.
Yeah, I know. I know why you hate me. That's clear.
Yeah.
Here's just another quick clip, and then we'll take some phone calls. And please just won't stop it, I guess. But it's not going to work, is it?
Right, I think the phone calls are, what are we missing? Why is it great? I think that's the question on the table. Elizabeth I'm not sure what your answer is, but apparently you have found some meaning in the show where it's spoke to you. It's important to you. Lisa says she identifies with different characters in different situations, and that's what makes it enjoyable for her. But what are we missing? Because the few minutes that I've seen it here and there, not funny, not sexy, not entertaining. That's what I don't get. The show just doesn't seem that good to me.
Right, well, you're wrong.
Before we break, here's a quiz. Who is this girl talking about?
Hello, lover.
All right. Who's that girl talking about?
She'll tell you.
Is she talking about her boyfriend?
You don't even have to give me choices. That's so easy. She's talking about the Christian Louboutin shoes she's going to wear for her last date with Big.
She's talking about a pair of shoes.
I
heard that clip. I went in and asked Omar because he pulled. I was like, "What is she? Who is she talking about?" He said, "Shoes."
Yeah. All right.
But, okay. Can I say something real quick?
No,
please, no.
You've said enough.
Let Elizabeth speak.
Oh.
Go ahead.
Let me say something really quick. I am not the typical girl who's all about designers and wanting this and this and that and that. Like I said, I watch the show because of the morals and the real life experiences. Yeah, there may be an episode where Samantha's having S&M sex in every way, but in the same episode, you're finding out why Charlotte's deciding to be with Harry because of his beliefs and how he'll stand next to her no matter what, if she can give him children or not.
Yeah, that sounds bad.
They ask about soulmates. Are there really soulmates? Does that put ridiculous pressure on relationships?
Exactly. Hey, Bean, we might want to rethink
this. The baggage from your old relationships, how's that affecting what's going on now?
We might want to rethink this. I don't think I want to know why they like it.
We don't care
because
if you
heard
do.
Too much.
But I'm saying we're asking, and I think that may be a mistake. Because
I can even give you I can give episodes.
I know we've seen that. You're crazy.
I can give episodes that women can have the boyfriends watch to get them updated for the movie if she wants to torture him going to see the movie, or just to kind of. There's probably 7 episodes I can give you that'll catch you up with the whole entire season or the whole entire series.
That's great. We'll have Elizabeth, people call you.
Elizabeth's phone is breaking up. I can't even hear anymore.
That's
it seems
a shame.
Like it's just so much staff there.
All right, we're
Custer.
Oh, for God's sakes, Kevin!
Where's she going?
Really, so was retarded.
Spending more. Her, but she's dead. Darn it.
Oh, what a shame.
Thanks, Elizabeth.
All right, we'll take a couple of your phone calls. Tell us what we're missing. 1-800-520-1067. We can't avoid it. We can't run from it. It's everywhere. I mean, you're getting beat over the head with it 25 times a day right now because the movie apparently comes out on Friday. Like Kevin said yesterday, can't be soon enough for us. We'll take your calls after this on K-Rock.
I've never been more excited about a movie premiere in all my life.
I don't think actually you're going.
No,
nope, Kevin.
I'm not going. I am excited though because it's going to be behind us at some point.
Oh, I see. And we can move on to all the talk about the sequel.
Kind of the way I felt when Speed Racer was coming
pretty
out.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Ryan writes in, by the way, who wants to watch a show about aging horrors, much less hear you guys talk about it? Thanks for nothing. So got that going on. Greg writes in about Sex and the City. Yeah, it's a show where women sit around and talk like gay men. So he's pegged it right there. But we're taking a couple of calls at 1-800-520-1067. I don't remember ever seeing Lisa as excited about going to a movie as she is Sex and the City this weekend.
I don't think I have been.
Same with Miss Cleo, same with Alex, same with every woman I know.
Been waiting for this forever.
Let's try Adrian in Ontario. He's on line 6. He has an interesting theory that I want to see if you guys believe holds some water.
Hey, Adrian.
Hi, guys. Hi, it's May.
Good morning.
Well, I just like to say I'm so excited to go into – me and my husband bought our tickets yesterday for Saturday night. So.
Right.
But I really think that it's about friendships, not just about sex, but just the friendships they have. And to me, it's just like Entourage, you know, but – a girl version
it's
of
like
it.
A female entourage.
That's such a good, absolutely.
Entourage.
It's a great comparison. It is about their friendships as much as anything.
Yeah, I love Entourage also, and I'm not a guy, but come on.
I don't think you can compare the two because Entourage, for me at least, as a guy, Kevin and me back me up, I hate all the guys on Entourage. I love the show, but
they are all dicks.
I hate them.
True.
I would hate Vince. I would hate, I don't have any relationship with them. I don't like them.
But it's about their friendships.
Yeah. But
more
laughing,
than anything.
Laughing at their friendships and how poorly they act as people, though. I mean, I don't see the comparison because the way I watch women watch Sex and the City, I feel like they really develop a kind of friendship with them and the characters. And
they like those characters.
I want to
root
for the characters. Yeah. I want to see Vince fail. I hate them.
I don't think everyone hates every character on Entourage the way you do, though.
No, I do. I'm right there with Mike. I tell you, they're all dicks. But, you wouldn't want to be friends with any of those guys in real life.
But the best character on Entourage on that show for me is Jeremy Piven, and he's the most hateable.
Yeah, he's funny.
He sure is.
He's great, but you don't want him to succeed.
Thank you for the call. Let's try Elisa in Anaheim Hills. She's on line three talking about Sex and the City on Friday. God knows why. This is the last time Lisa gets to pitch an idea for a topic. Elisa, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi. I, Kevin and Bean, yes. I really think in order to be able to watch this, you really have to be in touch with your sexuality and be open-minded.
Well, that's sure. not Kevin or Bean.
Yeah. Yeah. That, no, that's what it is. You have to be open-minded.
Definitely
and,
not that.
Yeah, sure, Elisa. You have to be...
No, I mean, just like women in sports. I mean, it's like, how cool is it to meet a woman that likes to watch sports with you because she's open-minded to it? And now if she was closed-minded to it, she would probably walk into the other room.
No, but, it's not that she's open-minded. It's that sports are good. Well, it's not a question of being open-minded. It's just a question of appreciating that something is good and interesting to watch.
That absolutely loved to watch it with me because he was open-minded. And let me tell you, he was...
Open-minded means gay in this case. Thank you for the call.
Open-minded means gay in this case.
You guys, naked women in almost every episode and hot women. Not just the women from the show, but other women. Because I know you don't like them.
There are some naked women in that show.
There's a lot.
Right. But that's how much we don't like the other people, that we're not even willing to sit through those other people to get to the naked women.
Because you're
good
insecure.
Point. Yeah,
that's insecure.
Yeah.
Because they're hateable.
We're not open-minded.
Anthony on line one, who wants to float the idea that this is a great opportunity at the cinema this weekend with all the women going to see that movie to meet a woman. Let's find out if you guys think that's true. Anthony, is that your plan? You're going to look for somebody at the opening this weekend?
Actually, no, that's not my plan. That's my plan for Beer Mug and Moose.
Send him out.
Oh, interesting.
Or a punishment for Beer Mug for failing at life as usual.
Yeah.
And then for Moose, I actually learned something about women because his game is just not happening.
Yeah,
that's for sure. But aren't the women going to be walking out of Sex and City hating men even more than they did before they walked into the film?
It's not a man-hating show.
Okay, Lisa.
It's
when
not.
The girls if come out of that movie and Moose or Beer Mug is out there to try and hit on them.
Well, listen.
You don't think it'll be a little harder than any other movie on this planet?
Absolutely, because we're there to be with each other, not with men. It's our bonding experience. And besides, women in packs are very dangerous. You don't want to approach women in packs.
When women in packs come out of a movie with blood on their fangs. You know what I'm saying?
It's
looking
not
for men.
We
looking
just
to take them down.
You know, it's our night.
Stupid Lisa!
It's a good idea, Anthony. I think maybe we need to send Beer Mug. I think that's an excellent suggestion. Or Moose, either one. Thanks for the call, dude. We appreciate it.
And they were never seen again.
See, that's what I'm saying. Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Ray J got into a bit of trouble over the weekend, and I saw TMZ.com, but the boyfriend of Whitney Houston was shown the door at the Regency Hyatt in Washington, D.C. after some guests complained about his behavior to the hotel management. Security showed up to his room, and they found marijuana and a drug called Boat. Familiar with Boat?
Boat.
No.
Boat is the modern-day street name for PCP.
Oh, good.
Oh, very nice.
You know, in my day, it was angel dust, you know, back when I was partying.
Sure.
Now,
back
boat.
When you used to buy it from Huggy Bear?
Boat now.
Boat.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you take it and you dip your joint in it.
Right.
You know, and then you just get nuts. So apparently security started dragging him out of the room. He went ballistic. Had a large argument with security, went crazy, and then started trying to bribe the employees into letting him stay at the hotel.
Oh, good.
They declined, and he was escorted from the premises.
Was Whitney there, Ralph?
Whitney was not there.
That's good.
No, it's not good. I mean, much
it
better if she was there, man.
I am
give
pulling
me that boat.
For,
yeah,
I am
give me that boat
Whitney
now. Give me that boat.
That's when I went from her.
Yeah.
Screaming.
Give me that boat. I miss a boat. Kiss my ass.
Doesn't seem like he's the influence she needs in her life as she is trying so hard to get clean.
Well,
right
that's
now.
What I'm wondering.
When
What's
are you the president of the Whitney Boosters Club?
No,
what
are
you
saying? I just want her to be wonderful and loving.
I think she's enormously talented. I'd like to see her make a comeback. That's
I
all.
Would like lollipops to drop from her hiney.
Just Whitney Houston, man. Relax. Her best stuff's behind her. Let's
wait,
face it.
Wait.
You know, she's not going to come back with a, you know, another smash hit album and make us
I don't know.
She's
got Clive
up.
Davis working with her. You know, you can't count him out.
I have a clip of a new Whitney. Never mind.
Come on, Kevin, take two. You can do it. We'll
try
fix,
it again.
We'll fix it in post. Good.
I have a clip from the new Whitney Houston album.
Oh, I'd love to hear some of the new single.
In the studio, so it got leaked on the internet.
That's Scarlett Johansson, actually. That's not Whitney, though. That's Scarlett Johansson's bad song.
Her voice has gotten way downhill.
Yeah, that's not her at all.
Can you believe that's real, by the way, by anyone?
Yeah. Dude, that's special.
Here's the actual clip of Whitney Houston.
How great is male ass?
She sounds different, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, Kevin, I think you have the actual clip of Whitney Houston, don't you?
I could get one.
If you had any nuts, you'd have one ready. If you had any balls at all, you would be coming back with your own piece of audio magic.
Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care of something for me, man. Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about? That's what I'm talking about. No. Speaking of singers with problems, Amy Winehouse.
Yeah.
She's got a lot of them.
We have a new clip.
Apparently, she's got another one. Amy Winehouse tells the press over the weekend that she's completed the James Bond movie theme song to the film Quantum of Solace.
Wow.
And she's finished it, and she's very pleased with the results, and she can't wait to hear what the film company thinks about it. Guess no one bothered to tell Amy that they've asked Beyonce to record a
theme song
for Quantum of Solace.
That's right. You told us they thought she was unreliable.
Yeah.
Which is just crazy.
Since producer Mark Ronson dropped out of the project on the grounds that Amy wasn't ready to work on music.
Wow.
Quite yet. Amy went and finished her own version of the song, and apparently she thinks it's good to go. Who do you think they're going to use? Beyonce or Amy Winehouse?
Think about that. You and Psycho Mike have both written your fair share of songs over the years. Can you imagine going into a room and having to write a song called Quantum of Solace?
Easy.
Really? Sounds tough to me.
Easy peasy. Peas and cheesy.
That's some of the lyrics, right?
Some of the lyrics right there, yeah. I had a quantum of solace.
Rhymes with solace.
Then I voted for George Wallace.
Nice.
My favorite part of Queens is Hollis.
Wow, it writes itself.
See?
Pretty much done.
Done.
They don't want us. They don't care. We have the answers.
They don't get it. Speaking of James Bond 007, Avon is releasing a new fragrance called Bond Girl 007.
Okay.
You can now smell like a Bond girl, ladies.
Before or after?
After.
Bond has been there.
After.
Oh, no.
It's a combination, apparently, the fragrance of vodka, gunpowder, and halibut. So I don't know how those three things blend.
Probably very poorly.
Looking forward to getting a whiff. Today's celebrity birthdays, Kylie Minogue.
Oh!
She's the Australian Madonna, you know.
That's what I hear.
She's 40 years old.
You've asked this question before, but why is she a superstar in 200 countries around the world, can't make a chart here in America? What? It doesn't make any sense.
Inexplicable.
Inexplicable, yeah.
Inconceivable.
I mean, she has like 60 huge hit records around, you know, in Australia and Britain and places
I hear
like
you.
That.
And she's diabolically hot.
Oh. Yeah, she's good, too. I don't get it.
I don't get it.
I don't get it.
I think it's the breast cancer. I think Americans are afraid of breast cancer.
Well, I don't think she's had breast cancer.
I think Americans are afraid they're going to catch it.
Okay. From a record.
Dave gave me breast cancer this weekend.
I don't doubt that.
Yeah. View co-host Elizabeth Hasselbitch is 31 years old today.
You said Hasselbitch.
What? Monica Keena. You know her from Dawson's Creek and Undeclared?
No.
Very attractive, talented actress. She is 29 years old today. Google her. You'll know her when you see her. And that's more or less it. Unless you count Chris Ballew of Residents of the United States of America.
I don't think so. They're still rocking, man. They just put out a new album this year that's terrific.
They're rocking in the free world is what they're doing.
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah. They're 43 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We've been talking off the air a lot about Indiana Jones versus Han Solo. Both, of course, played by Harrison Ford. Mm-hmm. And who would win in a fight? And, I mean, there's no argument about this. As far as I'm concerned, Han Solo, hands down.
Oh,
hands
really?
Down. I mean, it's not even a...
You think that's who would win?
Yeah, it's not even a question. I mean, there's
But Indiana Jones doesn't have the weapon, the Wookiee, the spacecraft. He doesn't have any of that stuff. He doesn't need any of that stuff. He just gets by with his own athleticism and his own wits and his whip.
He's an archaeologist, Bean.
Right. I know, but
he's got
only
a little,
part-time.
He's got, and a professor part-time.
Yeah,
that's what
exactly.
He does. You know what Han Solo is? Space pirate. Smuggler. That's what I'm talking about. The guy spends his life smuggling stuff through space, getting in fights. He's a combat veteran. He's a fighter.
He's great, don't get me
wrong.
That's
what he does.
But you put them in a room together.
Yeah, with nothing.
I don't think there's...
I don't think there's a question. Yeah, if you just put just mano a mano,
that's
what
I'm saying.
Much question.
Han Solo kicks his ass because
I'm saying Indiana Jones wins, though.
Indiana Jones is smart and can weasel his way out of stuff. I can see that. Han Solo fights for a living, dude.
But the other question you have to ask is it Indiana Jones of the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull at age 65 versus Han Solo age 25?
No, I'd say it would have to be in their both of them in their prime.
Both of them in their prime.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah, whenever
first
they were at their best, the two would be fighting. One of them a space pirate. The other one is a professor. Who's going to win?
But the space pirate isn't going to be in space. He's just going to be in a room.
But he has spent his life battling.
Mostly
but he hasn't. But he has.
Weapons.
You can go through the first three Star Wars movies. Rarely will you ever see Han Solo in hand-to-hand combat. He does a lot of blasting. He does lot of racing in the Millennium Falcon. You rarely see him punch dudes.
Okay.
There's no Star Trooper knockout punches.
But you get the idea that Han Solo is taken out of his smuggling world and put into this other world, and they're trying to tell him this is important. He doesn't really care about this other world he's in, the Star Wars world. He's a smuggler, dude. It's all off-screen.
He smuggles sausage off-screen.
He spends his whole life like fighting aliens and flying away. He's got the Millennium Falcon, and he's fixing it up all the time.
He flies away a lot,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, he flies away. That's true.
You're going to bring
Indiana Jones. Indiana Jones heads toward danger. Han Solo heads away from danger, by the way.
I mean, for you to bring up taking out of his own element and going into different environments where he can adapt, look at Indiana Jones. He goes all over the world to the most extreme remote places, and he finds a way to get his way out of it.
Snake. Tell me it's a rope. Tell me it's a rope. Shut up. Did you see Did you see the new one, Indiana Jones?
No.
The guy, first of all, it's dumb that he tried to save him with a snake, but he did. And then Indiana Jones is like, tell me it's a rope. All right, it's a rope. And he grabs it.
He doesn't like the snakes. Ash, very dangerous. You go first. Let's talk to Carrick Lister Pat, by the way, who is on the phone right now, who apparently has been having a similar debate in his workplace since the new Indiana Jones movie came out. Pat, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. Good morning.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Well, it's going great. You emailed us on this topic. What's the conversation been like where you work on this about Han versus Indy?
Well, I'm afraid I'm quite alone on this, much like Kevin. I believe that Han Solo definitely kicks Indy's ass.
There you go. There you go.
Based on what?
Why?
Just looking over everything. Okay, obviously we can't put the two of them in the room. You have to take what they experience on the screen and just try to compare them. Look at who outwits Han Solo. Han Solo is outwitted by Boba Fett, the most notorious bounty hunter in the galaxy. Look who Indiana Jones is outwitted by. He's outwitted by a monkey in the first one.
He's outwitted by everyone, by the way. Everyone, including this last movie, his best friend of 40 years, turns on him.
Exactly. And also, you say that Han Solo runs away from the danger. What about the first one? I see him chasing a whole patrol of stormtroopers on his own.
Bitch. What do you think of that?
In the Millennium Falcon, though, you mean?
No, on the Death Star. He's dressed in the Stormtrooper outfit, and he runs at them.
Right, and then he turns and runs away, didn't he?
But he's driven off by a company of them. I mean, he's driven off by a bunch of them. He chases after five of those guys on his own.
I'm just saying he's a fighter.
Time out.
That's what he does.
They're brave guys. I'm not saying they're not both guys that you'd want to have in your corner in the event that you've got a difficult task ahead. But I'm just saying if you go head-to-head, if you put them together, I don't think there's any question but that Indiana Jones wins.
I gotta disagree on that. I mean, I think that Han is tougher too. I think that you gotta look at also who is he fighting. He's fighting the Galactic Empire, an empire so evil that just nobody's able to take them on. You just have this ragtag bunch of down and out rebels who don't seem to have a chance. And who's Indy taking on?
He's taking on the Nazis. He's taking on the freaking Nazis, by the way.
He's taking on
the
Nazis. Crazy magician Indians.
War death machine.
Yeah.
Look who they conquered, the French and the Polish. Come on.
Need I remind you that Indiana Jones will go into battle with a rickety old disheveled Sean Connery or a 4 foot Asian guy. Han Solo will not go into battle without his 8 foot galactic space beast. Okay,
use whatever you have. What's wrong with you?
Use whatever you have. I'm saying that Han Solo is such a puss that he won't go anywhere without this gigantic prehistoric looking ape like thing.
His big Wookiee can
rip people's arms off. Indiana Jones is not afraid to go to any part of the world like an Asian boy. He doesn't care. He rolls like that.
Yeah, I think
that
Chris Hansen ought to be asking some questions, too, by the way.
Yeah.
All right, hang on one second here, Pat. Let's talk to Phil in Los Angeles. He's on line 5 this morning on the Kevin Bean Show. Phil, Han Solo or Indiana Jones? What do you think? Who wins?
Indiana Jones. Come on.
Han Solo, he's a space pirate. If you look at anything that happens in space, from Star Wars to Star Trek, they're a bunch of space fairies.
Space fairies? How dare you? Well, that's life and death, man. They're smuggling stuff. They're flying. They're fighting at every second. Indiana Jones is in the classroom talking about ancient languages that no one speaks anymore. Come on.
He got frozen into a wall.
Yeah, right, and lived, bitch.
But he got beat by a wall.
Well, I don't know that you would say he got beat by a wall. That might be a little unfair.
He got beat by a wall.
Okay.
It was. He did lose to Carbonite. That is true. That's a good point.
Who won in the end, people? Did Carbonite win or did Han Solo? That's right.
I don't know. The last time I remember seeing Han Solo, he was standing and chanting with a bunch of Ewoks. That's the last image I have of Han Solo in those movies, by the way. You don't see Indiana Jones holding hands with a teddy bear and singing songs at the end of his movies.
Well, that was truly gay.
Indiana
Jones
does not run around with Teddy Ruxpin and having to change the battery still up.
Exactly. Thank you very much for the call. let's try Dana in Buena Park. She is on line 7. Hi, Dana. What do you got on this topic?
I got Solo. He's a dirty fighter, man. If you put the two of them in a room, it doesn't matter who's afraid to chase who. It matters who's against who, and he's a dirty fighter, and he'll win Jones anytime.
That's what I'm saying.
He's got quite a bit of wit. He's smart. He can do some things, but if you put the two of them in a room, the dirty fighter's going to win, hands down, fair or not.
Han Solo, hands down.
Based on though? We've never seen him fight, ever. We've seen him shoot stuff. We've seen him fly stuff.
I just look at him, and you can tell that he's a dirty fighter, and he could take him down. And maybe a cheap shot or two doesn't matter, but he'll be standing when it's over.
Dude, he's a space pirate. He's not a space professor.
Those are blind claims.
What's wrong with you?
You can just tell.
That's blind claims.
You can just tell. Thank you for the call. All right, we need to take a break. Clearly, there's an issue to be decided here, and clearly we're not making any progress on showing Kevin how wrong he is so far.
Mm. Or how right. So we'll take a quick break. We'll come back with the decider.
Oh.
That's the only way to do it.
Why is that man yelling at us? What's the problem there? What's going on? It's early, man.
I believe the young man has given up. Very sad.
Seriously. Dial it back. It's Kevin Amin Show on K-Rock. We'll talk to Michael Jackson coming up. He was at the UFC fight over the weekend, inexplicably. Right now, though, we're trying to settle a debate. Listener Pat is on the line, and he has been fighting it out with his coworkers recently about who would win in a fight, Indiana Jones, back in the news because of the new movie, or the great Han Solo from the Star Wars movie. And again, Pat, you said who? Who do you think would win?
I say Han Solo.
But you feel kind of like you're on your own. I do, too. Like, most people feel that Indy would win.
And I can understand that. Indy is a very rough and tumble kind of guy. He seems to get out of it. But I just say that Han has not – they haven't had a fight with him because he's too good.
I see. I see how that works. Right.
I wanted to make a point that about Mike was saying that Han won't roll into a fight without his 7-foot-tall space beast.
Right.
To point out, like Chappelle said in his skit, you know, you see a group of black dudes, one white dude. You know who you're going to be scared of? It's the white dude. What did that white dude have to do to impress those black guys? What did Han have to do to impress Chewie so much? Chewie ripped the arms off of guys. What did Chewie have to see to just go, dude? Okay. I'm listening to you.
All right, I'm lost. But
that's a good point. He's making a really good point. You got to judge him by the company he keeps. How about this, by the way? Omar writes in. How about the fact that the man himself, Harrison Ford, in a recent interview said that, in his opinion, Indiana Jones would kick Han Solo's ass any day. Does that mean anything? If Indiana Jones said he'd kick his ass, then shouldn't I take his word for it? That's a good point, although I think he might have a different answer if he were promoting a new movie with Han Solo in it. I have a feeling that he's going to talk up whichever character he happens to be trying to get you to buy tickets for right now.
Every once in a while when we come up against it and we cannot possibly decide one or the other, we have to bring in somebody who we all respect enough. We think he will have the answer enough times that we have to let it be settled by him. It has to be when the decider rules, that's the answer.
That's it.
There's no more arguing. So, ladies and gentlemen.
Mine's the final decision. I hear the voices, and I read the front page, and I know the speculation, but I'm the decider. 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 And I decide what is best.
When life's mysteries seem unsolvable, when the hard questions demand a final answer, America turns to the one man we can all trust. He's Kevin Smith, and he's the decider.
Mr. Smith, good morning.
First off, to address the question of why Chewie would hang out with Han Solo, it's all in the nickname, sir. Chewie. He's a big gay Wookiee. Gee, some wonder... people will say he's married, man. I saw the Star Wars Christmas special. The Star Wars Christmas special is not canon.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see if that's a clue. Let's see if you're tipping your hand a little bit about which side you're going to come down on. Indiana Jones versus Harrison Ford, just the two of them, without any of their people, without any of their sidekicks, without any of their weaponry, just the two of them in a room. Who wins that one, the decider?
I feel like it comes down to which man shoots first. Okay. And as we learned in the Star Wars special edition, Han Solo never shoots first. He waits for somebody to take a shot at him, moves slightly and awkwardly, and then fires back. However, Han Solo, when faced with the Cairo swordsman, doesn't fight with swords. He pulls a gun out and shoots the dude.
Yeah,
that's true.
That dude is absolutely badass. Indiana Jones beats Han Solo.
Indiana Jones! How about that? Yeah. Wow. So you use the pull it out the gun for Indiana Jones and the Greedo rule for Han Solo, and that's what you use to come to the conclusion, and I think we could all be satisfied with that.
I think we have to be. That's all I got.
Damn. Kevin, what do you think of the new Indiana Jones movie? Have you seen it yet? I know you've been very busy.
Yeah, I went on Saturday night. I went to the Arclight in Sherman Oaks.
As did I.
Drinky McStinky show where you can, you know, see it with 21-year-olds.
They have a 21-plus showing where you can actually
bring
drinks.
There's always seats at those 21-plus shows.
Yeah.
But I don't drink, so... That's not the benefit. It's just the benefit. There's always seats, but then you have to watch the movie with drunk people.
Now, a lot of people have been kind of hard on the movie. What did you think?
I thought, when all was said and done, I wasn't like, I want my money back. It was nice to see Marion Ravenwood back. Little touches, you know, made me happy. Like seeing the brief few seconds that you see a piece of the Ark of the Covenant.
Right.
Although that led me to sit there and think for the rest of the movie, I wish they were going after the Ark again.
Right, yeah.
a little throwaway line where Indiana Jones is talking to Oxley, the guy played by John Hurt, where he referred to Marion as Abner's little girl, was a nice throwback to Raiders of the Lost Ark for me.
Yeah, I didn't didn't hear that at all, but go ahead.
Nobody heard that but me. Maybe I was drunk. the image of Indiana Jones standing on a hill with an atomic blast, mushroom cloud in the background, stuff like that was nice. But that ending, good Lord.
You felt like, at the ending, I felt like I was watching a whole different movie all of a sudden.
Yeah. I know some people feel like the movie went south with the swinging through the trees and the monkeys, but
that was
dumb. That was dumb, but forgivable.
Yeah.
But I just didn't understand what, like, at the end of the day, all the other three movies, and I'm sure George Lucas would argue this, to me seemed plausible. Like, you know, you open up the Ark of the Covenant, the wrath of God melts a bunch of dudes' faces.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I buy it. In the world of that movie, I buy it. Temple of Doom, you know, the Shankara stones come together and Mola Ram's hands get burned and he falls off the thing. I buy it. I buy the mysticism.
Right.
The third one, you know, that movie had me up until there's an old guy sitting in the cave for 1,000 years, an old knight. I thought that was totally corny, but I'll go with it. I hated that part so much.
But you want to buy it all.
I'll go with it. At the end of the day, it's mysticism. This, I just didn't understand at all. It's like they're aliens, but they're not aliens. They're interdimensional aliens, and why were 13... skeletons minus one head sitting in a cave waiting to become one alien that then wants to just kill the commie with overload of knowledge. It just made no sense whatsoever. I didn't get that part.
You would have liked to have a pass at that script maybe before they went right to filming,
huh? Not me. I would never presume to be the guy. I don't think I could come up with a fantastic Indiana Jones adventure. Mine would be, you know, him and Marion sitting around talking about Star Wars and sex. So I'm not the guy to do it.
That's true.
In 19 years between the last one and this one, you just feel like, maybe the story could have been stronger. I'm certainly no apologist for the movie, but I think it was more of a nostalgia trip than anything else.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. And let me ask you this, Kevin, and that is, because you're a guy who's created memorable characters and had to face that decision of whether to make a sequel or not. I mean, this doesn't seem to me like a movie that needed to be made. Why do you think they went back and revisited it? Just because, hey, there's $1 billion out there waiting on the table?
I mean, I'm sure money was something of a factor, but at the end of the day, it's, you know, I got to believe in my heart of hearts that Lucas and Spielberg, you know, and Harrison Ford are artists, and they feel like, you know, wouldn't it be fun to go back and play with that character again? So I think the, you know, the the impetus or the genesis of the idea was probably pure. Although, you know, at the same time, you know, they've been getting fans for years going, make another Indiana Jones.
Yeah, true. Right.
But
how would you rank the four movies in order of greatness?
I mean, Raiders, far and away the best.
Correct, yes.
And I just rewatched them all in advance of the new one, so I can speak to the present more so than my memory of them all. Raiders is a fantastic film from beginning to end, and it, you know, it was tough to ever come close to it with the sequels. But yeah. I think they go in descending order in which they were made.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, totally. Right. I mean, okay. I know some people feel like Temple of Doom is some kind of sacrilege, but it's a really fun movie and very in keeping with the first movie, more so than the third and fourth were, I feel.
Well, we've learned a lot talking to you here this morning about the Indiana Jones, about the four movies, and also who would win in a fight. So the decider says, and I guess Pat's going to have to accept that, and everybody else who called in, that it's no longer up for debate that Indiana Jones wins. He beats Han Solo in a fight.
Let me ask you this. Yeah. You're watching Kingdom of the Crystal Skulls, right?
Mm-hmm.
And by now everyone's seen it, so I'm going to give out a spoiler.
Okay.
But if you haven't seen it, turn your radio down. But, I mean, it made enough money. I think everyone's gone to see it already. In that wedding scene...
Yeah.
Did you expect the Ewoks to show up? Didn't it just feel like that?
Yes, it did.
It really felt like
yes, it did.
You were going to look in the back of the audience and there were going to be some Ewoks. It would have been nice if they threw Short Round a bone and let him be in the audience for the wedding.
Right. Where's Short Round today? That's a great question.
He hung out with that dude once back in like 33 or something like that. And then never again. Because those movies are chronologically not in order, right? It's Temple of Doom happens first, then Raiders
That's
of the
right.
Lost Ark, then
That's right.
Grail, and then the latest one. So... tell that story, man. You know, about how he used Short Round as a human shield and the kid got killed, and that's why we never saw him again.
Well, I think Chris Hansen has some questions for Indy. That's all there is to it. All right. We're out of time. The Decider, thank you so much. I look forward to seeing you again soon. And next time we have you on, I want to find out how your porno movie went out in Pennsylvania. We're dying for some details on that one. You got him to tell.
It went well. That's all.
All right, man. Fantastic. All right. Talk to you soon. Thanks,
Bye.
The Decider.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
So I'm watching TMZ TV, and they're talking about the fight over the weekend, the UFC fight. Mm-hmm. The MGM Grand
Ill
of
will?
Las Vegas.
Ill Will.
UFC 84, whichever one it was. And they were talking about the celebrities in the crowd. And they said that Michael Jackson showed up. And then they showed him. And Michael Jackson was wearing a full burqa.
What?
A full, like, hoodie yes. to cover up all, so people couldn't tell who he was. Super blacked out sunglasses. You could see maybe an inch of his forehead. And in a wheelchair.
Okay, why was he in a wheelchair?
I don't have the answer to any of those questions.
Oh,
so we thought
bizarre.
We would talk to the man himself and find out. I mean, who would have ever thought he would show up even at a UFC fight?
I know.
Yeah,
it's,
it doesn't
so
make
strange.
Any sense. I know he's spending a lot of time in Las Vegas these days, but clearly he would have had a better time at the Cher concert than UFC. Michael?
Good morning, Kissing. How are you?
Hey, where are you? What's all that racket in the background?
I'm in the gym.
You're not in the gym.
Yes, I am. I'm in the gym. I'm training.
You're training for?
For my upcoming MMA fight.
You're not in MMA.
What are you talking about? You weigh like 75 pounds, Michael.
I am in MMA, and I have been in MMA for many years.
No, you haven't.
How do you keep that quiet? No one has ever said that about you.
Because I wear a disguise when I wrestle. I dress myself from head to toe in heavy black linen.
Okay.
And I wear sunglasses, and I often wrestle in a wheelchair.
Right, but we would have seen you in the ring if that's how you were fighting. We saw you dressed like that in the audience the other night, but certainly not in the ring.
So you're just going to let that whole wrestling in a wheelchair thing
yeah.
go by?
I was like, Bean is fine with that.
You're going to go on to some more Bean comedy because you don't want to talk about wrestling in a wheelchair.
So you wrestle in a wheelchair?
No, never mind.
Is that what you're saying?
I see how it's going to be. Never mind. Okay.
Wait, Michael, you wrestle in a wheelchair?
No,
there you
too
go.
Too late now. No,
oh.
forget it.
Oh, come on.
I've been wrestling for many years. I've been wrestling mostly in Japan in the Pride.
Okay.
And for many years, people said, where's Michael Jackson been? Where's he been?
Right.
And that's the answer. I've been dedicating myself to the sport of mixed martial arts.
Okay.
And I went to the fight the other night to watch my competition because I'm gonna take on all comers.
Weren't all of those guys heavier than you? I mean, I don't know that there are any fighters in your weight class.
Well, you can learn a lot from watching fighters, even if they're not in your weight class. And
okay.
They're just to because I love the sport and because I'm dedicated to it and because I'm looking forward to my next fight.
Michael, what is your signature move if you have one in the ring?
Well, the arm bar, of course. is a strong move I've okay. mastered. The knee bar, the leg bar, the scrotum bar.
The what? The scrotum bar?
Yes. When you grab someone by the scrotum.
I don't think that's allowed.
And
that's
pin
allowed,
them to the mat.
I don't think that's allowed, Michael.
May not be allowed, but it's a lot of fun.
You mentioned a second ago, you mentioned your upcoming fight. Who are you fighting?
I don't know yet. We're looking at through my past opponents and trying to find someone worthy of me. I've already beaten Chief J. Strongbow, George the Animal Steele, Johnny the Mayor Grant. who else have I taken
Isn't
on?
Isn't he dead?
These are just yeah, people see? That are dead. These are people that died.
See how potent I am?
They're not even alive,
don't,
no.
That's why you don't mess with me.
You're not Did an you? MMA.
You don't mess with Michael the Anaconda Jackson.
That's your nickname?
No one has ever called you the Anaconda, Michael.
That is not true. Emmanuel Lewis called me that once.
Oh, well, man.
Late at night.
Yeah.
Did you...
In a triangle choke.
Oh, wow. That's a bad position right there. Wow.
After a flying scissor heel hook.
Wow, that's ugly.
Right after a rear naked choke. That's an actual move. Did you know that? The rear naked choke?
Yes, I'm aware of that.
I couldn't write that.
It is very disconcerting to hear it come from you, though.
I was so happy when I found that on the internet.
Sure you were.
Wait, you're wrestling in a wheelchair?
All right, I got to go now.
All right, thank you, Mike. Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat. Morning, Ralph. What's going on?
Not much, guys. Heard about you guys talking about Indiana Jones, the latest installment of that movie. Franchise. Mm-hmm. Steven Spielberg apparently so happy that Indiana Jones has done so well this past week and that he is working on his next blockbuster sequel, which is rumored to be Jurassic Park 4.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Is it in with aliens?
Yes.
Spaceship?
Why not Schindler's List 2 while we're at it?
Oh, that'd be good.
Remember the Jews' Revenge. Schindler's List 2.
Laura Dern told ContactMusic.com that she's already been contacted about the project, and apparently her character's involved, but she doesn't know exactly how. So the movie's supposed to be happening for you fans of Jurassic Park.
I never saw any of those.
Christ's sake.
I didn't make it to those. I didn't go.
Yeah, it's not a surprise.
Why don't you like pleasure? Or enjoyment?
We really
or
don't
fun.
Have time for that.
You've never seen Jurassic Park either, Mike?
Not one of them.
Really?
So many of those movies, you see them and they just don't look good.
You're wrong.
Well, the first one was pretty cool, actually.
First one was amazing.
Yeah.
Outstanding.
Maybe. Okay. I guess I'd be more excited about the sequel if I'd seen any of them, I guess.
I just watched Raiders of the Lost Ark this past weekend.
I did see that. That was very good.
There's really no reason to be excited about the sequel, though, for Jurassic Park.
No, but Jurassic
probably
Park.
Not.
First, but go see the first one, for God's sakes.
No, okay. You can't really go see it now, Lisa. You got maybe
you
rent.
Can. Perry
rent
Bean it. Can. He lives in the past. He just went to see Raiders of the Lost Ark this weekend.
Yeah.
Hayden Panettiere is just the best.
She is.
Here's the reason she loves England. She was doing an interview with the Daily Mail newspaper there, and she says she loves England because she can walk into any bar and order a drink without having to show her passport.
Yes.
That's what I love. Smoking hot girl who just loves free-flowing liquor.
God, is she hot. Look at that rack.
Yeah.
They maybe are a little laxer with the IDing over
you
there,
think?
I guess.
They are, and I think legal age is 18.
In Ireland, legal age? 6.
Yeah. It's mandatory.
You
have to start drinking at 6, which I think is pretty cool. Robert Redford, legendary movie star and good friend to Sidney Pollack, who just passed this week, is apparently not worried about his advanced age. He's 71 years old, but he's just announced that he is engaged to his girlfriend.
Wow.
German artist Sybil Sagers. She is 19 years younger at 52.
Oh, I thought you were going to say 19.
No, I wish she was 19.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to go, Bobby. Go, Bobby. They've been together since 1996, so they're just getting around to getting married now. Wow. But I guess they figure they're going to be together for a little while.
Robert Redford, one of the most handsome actors of all time in the 60s and 70s, really has taken a very, very bad turn for the worse in recent years.
He's a Sharpie dog.
I agree. Yeah.
Well, yeah. He used to be
so good looking.
He's weathered.
Yeah, he's weathered.
The guy spends an enormous amount. If you spent the same amount of time in the sun that he does and on the ski slopes that he does without any protection for your face, whatever, you would get ravaged too. He's a saddlebag. If I could give you one piece of advice.
Yes, what would that be?
Wear sunscreen would be it.
8 people are laughing at that.
New girlfriend for American Idol, David Cook.
Oh, great.
He apparently is banging second season Idol contestant Kimberly Caldwell.
Oh, she was kind of sporty, wasn't
she's,
she?
She's very hot.
Is that the pool that he has to choose from?
He's got to choose another Idolite. Yes. You right. cannot, you can't mingle with
the regular
the
population.
Flotsam and Jetsam. Yes.
Yeah. Hey, he could bang my wife if he wanted. I know that. I'm telling you, she's lined up for him.
Well, who couldn't?
Well, really, though.
Seriously.
She loves him. That's
Word
all I'm saying.
Your mother.
We're saying
Word
you
to
mean
your mother? Really? Let me get it straight. We're bringing back What's Up.
No, we're not. That's
Rad.
Dave. Nope, that's Dave.
Far Out.
No, that's Dave.
Not.
No. That's Dave.
And Word to Your Mother.
That's already that's brought back.
Oh,
that's
has it been?
Yeah, I took care of that.
I did it because I said it's already back.
When I say it happens
because
happens.
I am me.
Yep.
And Lindsay Lohan. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Lily Lohan.
Is reportedly in a serious lesbian affair with DJ Samantha Ronson.
Oh, nice Bieber.
Photos all over the internet this week that have come out of the Cannes Film Festival. Apparently, Lindsay and Samantha making out on P. Diddy's yacht.
I just threw up.
Two girls making out on P. Diddy's yacht, by the way. No one even notices.
Yeah, true. Yeah,
that's true.
They just blend into the scenery there.
Buddy. Vagina.
Because it's Lindsay and Samantha, people did take a notice. And Us Weekly Magazine says that Michael Lohan, Lindsay's dad, says that the same-sex relationship is... apparent, obvious, evident to anyone with half a brain, he says.
Good morning, vagina!
Lindsay, by the way, is now sporting a huge rock on her finger. Tabloids are going crazy with the rumor that Lindsay and Samantha may take advantage of California's newly minted same-sex marriage law and get married sometime soon.
Don't you understand? She's a lesbian.
Well, that'll last.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think that would be an excellent choice for Lindsay that she's sort of fallen off the wagon is to rush into a permanent relationship with someone of the same sex.
Sure.
That would cement her place in Hollywood forever.
This may be a stupid question, but... never mind. I'm not even going to ask.
Now we're here.
Now you have to.
I apologize for bringing it up.
You can't put toothpaste back
in the
tube.
I'm sorry. I'll just get mocked for asking because it's a dumb question. But I can't help but wonder how, I don't care how nice a girl she is, how Lindsay Lohan can look at her and think, attractive, yes, I want to be with her.
Well, she's not a beauty queen, if that's
what
you're saying.
Yeah,
people have asked your wife the same question for many years, my friends. I don't care how talented he is. I don't care how much money he makes being a big-time radio star. Look at those pigtails. That's what people were saying at the Weenie Roast.
I know, but doesn't this seem more like, I mean, this is like a fun, sexy kind of fling, a rebellious, thing for Lindsay. It's not like this is her soulmate and she's met this person that she's been with for a long time and they're going to settle down and be together forever. I mean, it's just a thing, right? So if it's just going to be a thing, why not pick somebody hotter? That's all I'm saying.
I'm with you.
Would they have community property laws if they got married now in California?
I imagine.
Oh, good question. I don't know, Lisa.
Good deal for Samantha Ronson.
No kidding.
Yeah, no kidding.
Who I think owns a pair of Birkenstocks, a flannel shirt, and a turntable.
Yeah.
That is her entire net worth.
Headphones.
Yes.
A lot of keys.
And like she wears her cigarettes rolled up in her sleeve.
She's got those glasses.
And she's got glasses. Lisa's lesbian costume.
That's how
for
Lisa
Halloween.
Dressed up for Halloween. And
don't you get it? I'm a lesbian. Look at me. I've got keys and cigarettes and glasses.
Lesbian glasses.
It was not impressive.
Oh, if that's the itinerary or the criteria rather. Then I'm a lesbian. Cigarettes,
right,
keys,
exactly.
And glasses.
Yeah, you have all three.
Yeah,
T-shirts and cigarettes.
T-shirts,
right. By the way, speaking of same-sex marriage, your gay boyfriend is coming up after the top of the hour at 8. We're going to be talking to Andrew Siciliano.
Guys, I don't think our relationship is. Is going any further.
Is it on the rocks?
Well, I thought you loved him.
What?
I thought he was your man crush.
I do, and I did, but I can't stand...
When did love die?
When you're in a relationship, you have to look out for yourself. You can't not just give yourself totally over to your partner.
Right.
And there is some behavior that is just inexcusable, and I think he has crossed the line with his recent behavior.
Wow.
You are a murderer of love!
That's right.
Wow.
Murderer of love. I'll tell you what he did when we come back after the top of the hour. Today's celebrity birthdays. John Fogerty. You know the Clydesdales? What the hell they call it?
Clarence, right?
How is there that much excitement for him today?
CCR.
Yes.
You know.
He's a legend.
He is a rock legend.
Okay? He is.
All right.
Yeah. 63 years old today. Chris Ballew of President of the United States of America.
Woo!
Yeah!
I'm going to argue that John Fogerty is one of the 10 best American songwriters in history. I'm going to make that case.
I
right
would have
now.
Argued that with you until center field. Then I was out.
Put me in, coach. He's ready to play.
I'm ready to play today.
He went to the Paul McCartney School of Songwriting.
Yeah. Kylie Minogue is 40 years old today. Rapper Chub Rock is 40. And View co-host Elizabeth Hasselbeck is 31 years old.
Oh,
today.
Don't ring it three times.
Yeah, she gets one ring.
Lisa, we have to go most. By a strict criteria of attractiveness.
What about Tyra Banks?
Not good hot anymore.
Not hot anymore.
Yeah, yeah, she's a tranny now.
Right. She's a manster.
She's turned into
she's
RuPaul.
China Banks.
Right.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show this week.
And we're going to talk about the Stitch and Pitch promotion going on at the Dodgers.
It's back. It's more popular than ever before. I think almost every baseball stadium in America now does the Stitch and Pitch, believe it or not.
I've heard that Stitch and Pitch this year will be covered on DirecTV on the 101 channel.
Is that right?
Andrew Siciliano will be hosting.
Doing play-by-play?
Yeah. Look at that yarn. Look at those needles fly.
Andrew, what are you doing?
Andrew Siciliano, of course, our boyfriend during football season. Because
by the way, if you don't know, he hosts the Red Zone channel on DirecTV, which is the reason I got DirecTV. And I watch it every Sunday, and I love Andrew more than a man should love another man.
Back when he was good, though.
And we talked to him throughout the football season because he seems to have a good grasp on who's going to win and what's going on in the season and everything else.
He's one of the great sportscasters working today.
Well, he was.
You're way too kind.
He was.
You're way too kind.
And so imagine my shock and horror as I'm flipping around on my DirecTV dial the other day, and I land, I think it was on the 101 channel.
It was the 101.
Which, Andrew, is what channel now on DirecTV?
On 88, but they moved it up to 101.
Oh, they did now.
It's back on 101.
It was on 88 for a while, but it was still called 101. I was very confused.
Yeah. It makes sense now, thankfully. Okay. There was confusion earlier.
All right. Yes. And there they're having the official gaming champion team draft.
It's called the CGS.
So is that from the NFL?
No. It's called the Championship Gaming Series, and yours truly, and I believe your boy Stryker, the one you saw, right?
Yes.
Don't think we're not calling him next, believe me.
We were actually in Austin, Texas for South by Southwest when we filmed that, and that was the draft for what is soon to be the thrilling second season of the Championship Gaming Series on the 101 and DirecTV.
Now, what is the Championship Gaming Series?
It's funny you ask.
Don't even know what that is.
Well, what game are they playing, Andrew?
They're playing four games. They're playing four games on the Xbox 360.
Okay.
Number one, they're playing Forza, which is a racing game.
Okay.
They're playing Counter-Strike Source.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think the game that you guys would enjoy most, not the FIFA, that's the sports game, Ralph, right? It's soccer,
I love those,
right?
Yeah.
But they're playing DOA 4, which is basically, and I had a chance to play this in Japan when I was on vacation there last year while drunk in an arcade in Akihabara, but that's another story. And it's a first-person fighting game.
Okay.
It's basically like chicks in Japanese schoolgirl skirts kicking each other's butts.
Okay, that sounds great.
I mean,
Andrew, let me cut to the chase.
Video games.
Look,
I like,
yeah, it's
you know.
Fun to play, but it's not fun to watch other people play. That's what
but this
we're
is not a sport, Andrew.
It's high def. It fills the screen. It looks kind of cool.
But it's a bunch of nerds, and you're calling out their names, and, oh, he's going to the Chicago Chimera as if it matters to anyone.
All right, wait a minute.
And Stryker's up there waving a T-shirt and a hat, and he's putting on like a jersey, like he's just come out of Penn State, the number one draft, and going to the Cowboys.
So this is not watching people play video games.
No.
This is a draft for teams that will then later play video games? What are you doing?
Okay, I'm not doing play-by-play. All right, I'm the guy down there.
Are you on the broadcast?
I am. I'm the guy down there talking to them after they play their video games.
But what are you saying to them? Wow, you sure played the video game really good. I mean, what are you talking to these guys about?
See, that's the challenge of any broadcaster, to get the story.
You were so in the zone.
No, apparently the challenge for some broadcasters is to say no once in a while to a job offer. That's the real challenge.
All right, here's the question. This isn't about me. This is about you guys. You guys like money, right?
This is about you.
No, hear me out. The major sponsors for this thing are Microsoft, all right, Xbox,
right.
Dell, Mountain Dew. I mean, those sponsors wouldn't be on board if gazillions of people aren't watching this. You know what I'm saying?
aren't watching this,
the draft,
the quote, well, sport or the draft?
It, all of it, believe it or not.
Andrew.
Look, it blew me away. This is broadcast internationally. It's on okay. in South America. Right. It's on in Japan.
Andrew,
it's on in England.
Let me ask you this question.
Yes.
A lot of people are going to see Sex and the City this weekend. Do you want to be in that too?
See, I had this funny debate with someone recently. You could really pick up some chicks
nope.
in those theaters.
You couldn't. That's what
I
we
wouldn't
were,
do it.
We were talking about that earlier today. They
all angry?
They'll come out and they're going to be
we're
sisters.
We're not going to be angry. We're just not going to be interested in you.
And they're going to hate men.
See, I think a lot of women that go to see the movie are just angry. They're bitter by nature.
Yes, absolutely.
You guys
absolutely.
Are so deluded.
By that show. Like, the first couple of years were fun, and then it just went so far downhill that it turned into, like, you know, Oprah, like, the last week of the month.
All right, let's get...
Sounds like Andrew is watching the show.
Let's get... Andrew, let's get back to your badness.
Okay, thank you.
There are teams. They are the New York 3D.
Correct.
The Carolina Core.
Correct.
Chicago Chimera.
It's actually Chimera.
Chimera, the
yes.
Dallas Venom.
Yes.
There's a team from Los Angeles.
They are, and they got away with a foul at the end of that game last night.
Called Complexity.
Uh-huh. A different team.
Yes.
Don't try and change it to basketball now,
go
dude.
Go Complexity.
And the San Francisco Optics.
Optics, yes. With an X at the end.
And they, so you had a draft, and you
yes.
did the after interviews for the draft.
Yeah, I actually kind of sat up there and I kind of was the Rich Eisen,
yes,
the
you were.
Chris Berman of that.
Yeah, he sat up at the dais with two other guys, and they said, oh, can you believe they just picked Abdul Akhmadanan is going to the Dallas Venom.
Hey, huge I was pick. Driving the bus. You toss it to the other guys. I toss it back to Stryker.
Andrew, is this as simple as I love DirecTV, I love the Red Zone, but I also have to pay a mortgage in the summer? Is that what we're talking about here?
Because if so, please be honest and tell us that. If not, then we're going to have to turn on.
Break up with you, baby. We might have to break up with you.
An entire, I want to say nation, but you would not believe
right.
how many people
right.
watch this. Okay.
Right, we don't care.
In all seriousness,
is it for the reason you did it, is it a house payment? If so, fine. Okay. All right. That's fine. We can understand that.
You know?
We can understand that. If you did it for any other reason.
I got an Xbox out of it.
That's it?
An Xbox out of it.
Wow. I have an Xbox that I didn't have to call the play-by-play for the draft.
Is that the price Dignity's going for these days?
Dignity can be bought with an Xbox.
Look, you can't expect Ralph to see you on that and not hurt his heart just a little bit. I mean, we had to call you, Andrew.
Yeah, I mean, the ultimate question is how long did Ralph stay when he watched
That's
it?
A great question.
Just enough to register the shock of seeing you in that position,
compared
and then
to something was it like watching OJ with the Niners?
Yeah, you kind know? Of.
Yeah,
more though. More into it was like watching
the Chargers.
It was more like
watching OJ and the White Bronco is what it was like.
It was like watching your pod. Brand new girlfriend.
Yeah,
and then finding her in the porn section of the video store.
Oh, oh yeah,
and you see her. You see her on the cover, and you're like, oh my god,
what?
Really? She did this.
That's your fault. Not recognizing her the first time you met her.
That's true. She's a slut. She's been a slut the whole time.
I should have known.
You know, I know you from Calabasas.
Yeah, I should have known you were a whore to begin with. Is that what
exactly.
you're saying?
Exactly. That's yeah. right. All right.
Seriously.
All right.
Should she wear a scarlet letter somewhere on her clothing?
Yeah. All right.
Well, all right. He did it for the money. That's really all we wanted to hear, and that's fine. We can understand why. But
wow.
We still feel bad for you, Andrew.
Guys, the North American regular season starts June 2nd on the 101.
Oh, can't hear you. Break it up.
Go Complexity. Go Complexity. Bring it home.
We need to talk to the captain of the Complexity so we can find out what their plan is
yeah,
for the season.
We can get him out of the basement.
Kid, make a call. I guarantee you you'll be watching.
He's 16 and in his mom's basement.
That's right.
All right,
mom
Andrew.
Can drop him off.
You're bad.
I still love you guys.
I love you.
The Marlins have already done it this year. The Astros, the Cardinals, and the Dodgers are doing it this weekend. We're talking about the annual Stitch and Pitch Night. We'll try to stop it. We'll try to stop it before it happens with a phone call in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, let's welcome our girlfriend, LaQuisha, back to the show. Good morning, LaQuisha.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you doing?
We are good.
Well, we're doing great. I can't believe the Tila Tequila Show is wrapping up. Season 2 is almost at a close, isn't it?
They are down to like 6 people now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, the show's just not the same for me since Chad got thrown off for headbutting Bo in the face and breaking his jaw.
Yeah.
Those were the good times.
Those
were the golden days of that show.
Right.
But they've gone on anyway. They continue, and Tila is once again trying to find true love. And how else can you do that but by making people wrestle in Jell-O? That was the first challenge
of last night's show. That's how you do it?
Break everybody up into two teams, have them get into some cherry jello, what she calls her cherry pit.
See? Mm.
And here's some of Tila Tequila giving them the directions.
I want to see who's got some real moves, if you know what I mean. You're all going to do a little bit of wrestling in my huge bowl of gelatin.
Oh, cheap-ass MTV won't buy the rights to say jello.
Yeah. Yeah,
gelatin wrestling doesn't have the same sexy quality to it, I don't think.
And nothing has a sexy quality when Tila Tequila says it, by the way.
Well, she wants to find it if they have some real moves, if you know what she means.
Nope, I'm not sure what she means.
I couldn't figure that out either. That was too oblique. Anyway, whatever team won in the Jell-O wrestling competition got a private group date with Tila. And so the winners got their reward.
So the winners get to go on a sweet Candyland date with me, because I have a sweet tooth, and it's just like a fantasy world of candy.
It's a room full of candy. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Is this,
What is that, a Michael Jackson dating show?
Is this a TV show?
We do that, just fill a room full of candy and have some people in it, and that's supposed to be special Candyland fantasy. Shut up, Tila Tequila. So the team that wins is up there, and Bo, who's got his chin all wrapped up and wired because he got it broken 2 weeks ago, is there trying to talk to her. And Jersey, you know the kid from Jersey, obnoxious kid from Jersey,
sure,
that everybody hates, just won't let Bo have no time with Tila by herself.
Jersey being the that he is.
Get on this beast.
I got hardly any time with Tila.
Come on, baby.
I don't get enough time with her, and I want her to know that Jersey's still here, baby.
Yeah.
Jersey's still here, baby.
Yeah. No one's ever been more obnoxious than this guy. Well, Tila starts to feel bad about the fact that the losers from the Jell-O wrestling competition were left out. So she, in her big-heartedness, invites them to her Candyland fantasy world.
So I know you're frustrated. If I were you, I would have a little food fight.
So she lets everybody go nuts in the Candyland, and they got chocolate syrup and whipped cream, and they're throwing stuff around, and they're just letting all their frustrations out, which I think is really nice of her to let them do, until she shows back up again.
All right, you dirty behave. You guys made a mess in here. So I'm going to expect you to clean the up. Oh. I want you to clean my candy shop.
She brings in mops and brooms and whatnot.
Didn't she make them throw food?
Yes.
It's her idea.
She made them do it, and then she comes in and says, now clean it up.
What the hell is going on? How does she expect to find a lover?
Why would you want to date a bitch like this? Girl, just like, go ahead, have sex with that other woman. I'm going to divorce you now. You had sex with another woman. You can't deal with this craziness.
No.
Then they play a game on the show called Stay or Go, where the other contestants get to tell her who they think should stay or go on the show. And this one model, Christy, really says she cares about Tila a lot, and she was upset because Bo said she should go.
Bo's a douchebag. I think that me and Tila standing next to each other is every man's fantasy, and if it's not, you're gay.
I think most lesbians use that as the barometer whether they should date someone or not.
Sure, yeah.
Let's see, if I date this girl, will I drive straight men crazy? That's why I want to be with her.
Yeah.
Well, they're all by the pool, and Jersey decides that he's going to get some more attention by skinny dipping into the pool. Nobody wants to see his white ass in the pool. Nobody.
No.
But he thinks he's really outdone everyone else on the show, not just this season, but the one before.
Beat that season one!
Beat that season one!
Season one? What is he? How do they do that?
They can't. It's not a competition. They can't go back in time or nothing. And you can see he's really here for the right reasons of winning her heart by wanting to outdo season one in the skinny dipping department.
Right.
Sure. Well, Glitter, the stripper from Arizona, she's in the pool with Jersey. And being a lesbian and whatnot, she's not too happy.
When I looked over, I saw a shriveled, flappy penis, and I was like, even though he's my friend, I don't want to see his penis.
Don't want to see that.
Wow.
Okay.
Well, it comes time for elimination, and two people have to go. And Jersey, who I think should be nervous all the time,
right,
should be completely panic-stricken because everyone hates him, and he's obnoxious, and everyone wants him to get lost. He should be nervous at this elimination time. But he, sure enough, she gave him the first key to stick around.
What?
And he knew it. He was real confident going into the whole event, as you can hear by what he says here.
You have a shot at love. Are you interested?
Of course. Boy, was elimination nerve-wracking. Not.
Oh no. Come on, LaQuisha. Really?
Yeah.
He didn't say not.
Yes, he did.
We need to stop this.
I don't know what Dave, the King of Mexico, done to this boy.
Come on.
But it's sweeping the nation.
Look, if Tyra Banks says it and then that dude says it, it's so over. Let's not try to bring Knot back.
Boy, was elimination nerve-wracking. Knot!
Oh, wow.
I can't believe it.
Goddamn King of Mexico.
Yep. Wow,
we mocked him saying there was no way that was coming back because it was so stupid. And now every single day there's another instance of it on national media. What the hell's going on?
Goddamn King of Mexico.
That's what we're saying.
Boy, was elimination nerve-wracking. Knot!
Come on.
Well, poor Glitter, the emotionally fragile stripper, as if there's any other kind, from Arizona, was the one to get the axe last night, and she did not handle it well.
Really?
Please enjoy my favorite 20 seconds from Tila Tequila, A Shot at Love.
I really don't think that any of those people can love her the way that I can. I have so much heart and so much love to give. I don't understand why Tila doesn't want it. It hurts so bad. I just don't know why I'm alone.
Wow.
That last part you heard there was her hocking a loogie.
Oh.
She was crying so much that she got snot.
Wow.
In her mouth, and she goes and spits on camera.
Wow.
While she's talking about how she can't figure out why she's alone.
I can't either. All I know is.
Boy, was elimination nerve wracking. Not.
I wasn't. I enjoyed the show last night.
That's great.
Not.
That's new Coldplay. Viva la Vida. Is the name of that by Coldplay, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock. I think we have them coming in on Monday. Is that true?
Coldplay. You know how I know you're gay?
No.
You like Coldplay.
Yes, we do. We have them coming in on Monday, as a matter of fact. That album title, by the way, that song, Viva La Vida, is named after a painting by Frida Kahlo, the famous Mexican artist, in case you're wondering what the title means. And we'll have to ask them how that became the inspiration for pasty white guys doing rock music. All right. Coming up in about 20 minutes, we're going to talk to our friend Matt Money Smith, formerly sports guy on the Kevin and Bean Show, now, of course, with the Lakers Radio Broadcast Club, talking about his big game last night, or the Lakers' big game in San Antonio. In the meantime, though, we got to take care of something. There's a problem in the baseball world, Kevin.
Yeah.
You can go to stitchandpitch.com right now and read this. Stitch and Pitch brings together two wonderful traditions. Baseball and needle arts is what it says. And we got to find out what the deal is with this coming back, because we tried to kill it last year and it didn't work. Jennifer Wenger is on the line right now. She is the LA Dodgers Stitch and Pitch Committee Chair and the owner of Jennifer's Knits in Brentwood, California. Good morning, Jennifer. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, guys. How are you?
So okay. You work in a knitting store? That's your business?
I own a knitting store, yeah. I own a fabulous knitting store, and it's West Los Angeles, Brentwood.
Okay.
And why do you have to screw up our baseball with your knitting?
Well, we're not screwing up. As you said, last year it was very successful. They had almost 800 attendees, and most other stadiums across the country have 1,500, 2,000 attendees. There's 25 major league games that are having this year, plus one in Japan, and 16 minor league games.
Too. You didn't start all this, did you?
I didn't start it all, no. I helped our TNNA, it's the National Needlework Association, help find the publicist who helped promote it.
Okay, I know that it's popular. I get that. But Larry the Cable Guy is popular. It doesn't make it good, first of all. So that's not
a defense. He's not as popular as Knitters. He's not as popular
well,
as us.
That's
but here's what I don't understand. And please understand that you've got two guys coming from completely different vantage points here. This is Bean speaking, Jennifer. And I love baseball. It is my favorite sport. I watch
part or all of all 162 games of the Mariners. That's my team. That every single year. I mean, that's how much I love baseball. I try never to miss a game. Okay, Kevin hates baseball, but the one thing we can both agree on is that knitting is not improving the sport in any way.
But knitting might be filling up the stadiums. There's 38 million knitters in America, and I heard one of you has a wife that knits or a girlfriend that knits.
That's
is
Mike.
That right?
That's Mike. His wife is very excited about this.
Okay, so she's probably a cool chick. She's got.
But why not fill up the stadium? Because I don't know, you win because you play baseball. What's wrong with going to see the game?
That's true. I don't go to enough games to know why people don't fill it up, but I do know that knitters talk to other knitters. We're a great chain of networking, and we are going to fill up the stadium this year.
What's the talk between two knitters like?
You don't kiss and tell.
Hey, guys. Did you see my move there with my knitting stick or rod or whatever it is?
I like it. It's multitasking. You're getting something done while you're having fun.
I'd like to suggest that
relaxing knitting reduces stress. It builds self-esteem. It lowers blood pressure. There's all these.
And you make sweaters.
Suggest that baseball really is the only sport in which you could knit and watch.
That's true.
There's all other sports you would miss something. In baseball, you got plenty of time.
Well, we're looking at it like a way of doing something and eating hot dogs, knitting, while we get to be at a game.
It's a leisurely pace of a game. I'll grant you that. But I don't understand. To me, they don't make any sense together. Look, you say on the website, and I know you didn't write this, but let me read it again. What is Stitch and Pitch? Stitch and Pitch brings together two wonderful traditions, baseball and needle arts. There are lots of wonderful traditions. The death penalty is a wonderful tradition in this country. You don't mix that with baseball. Christmas presents are a wonderful tradition. I don't see you bringing Santa Claus out to the park. I mean, they just don't make any sense together.
Yeah, they do, because a baseball event is a great thing to do with your family.
And right.
If you're a guy, how impressive would it be to get your girlfriend or your mom or your wife and the kids together and take them all to a baseball game where there's going to be knitting? I mean, that is definitely a way.
Okay.
Plus,
all right, Jennifer.
There's a bunch of single women that are going to be there.
But they're knitters.
Knitters are cool. You got. Look like?
I'm not going to. I would love to see your picture. I don't think it's going to be like a singles night where you go, wow, look at that chick that's embroidering. She's hot.
Knitters are hot.
Knitters are old.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
My
they're old.
My wife isn't old.
No, she's not, but she's going
and
to be one day,
hot.
And she's going to be in the Needle Point Association one day.
Jennifer, are there a lot of women in their 20s who are knitting?
Yeah, the average age of a knitter is between 25 and 50.
Right. 125 and 150, you mean?
No. Hey, grandmothers didn't start knitting when they turned 80. They started knitting when they were 20, trying to hook up with some hot guy making them Argyle socks.
Yeah.
So you got to think about it that way. Anybody in your office that's a smart, cute chick, ask them if they're a knitter.
Yes, ask them if they're a knitter. All right, we'll ask. But even if they say yes, does that mean that we need to put it in baseball?
Yes.
It does.
Yes,
absolutely.
It does.
Okay.
The Dodgers are just capitalizing on a smart way to fill up the seats.
Well, yeah. How about scoring a few more runs, maybe, and not losing
well,
so many games?
The last
3-1.
We went to. They won the last two games that the knitters attended.
Oh, well, so the knitters are good luck.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, well, I mean, look, we're very superstitious. If they always win every time it's Stitch and Pitch night, then maybe we will reconsider, because whatever
maybe
it takes.
We go.
June 2nd, 7:10 is game time. I believe the Rockies are in town next week.
Colorado,
is that who's Colorado, right? Okay. That, of course, is Dodger Stadium.
I think we need to send our intern, Moose, who says he's got great game. Out to the Dodger game, and he has to hit on people, but they have to be knitting or crocheting or needlepoint or whatever it is you people do. And he's got it.
There's going to be tables set up so people can learn how to knit for free, and supplies are going to be given out for free. We welcome kids, family, everybody.
Who even needs a baseball game? It sounds like there's plenty of reason to come down just for you.
Why don't you have a separate knitting event?
No.
People can come down and knit.
No.
Here's the website. It's stitchandpitch.com, and that's stitch, the letter N, pitch.com. $16 for a ticket. That includes a Dodger Stitch and Pitch hat. $1 of every ticket sold goes to the Needle Arts Mentoring Program. Of course, you can also buy your tickets through the Dodgers website as well. Jennifer Wenger, Jennifer's Knits in Brentwood. Thank you so much for joining us. Good luck, I guess.
Well, we don't have anything against you personally. You seem very nice.
You seem awesome.
Yeah. But stop it.
No, we're not going to stop.
All right.
We're not going to stop until we take over every game.
Okay. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Bye now. 8:56, time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Before I get to the beat, I've got something very cool to give away.
Yeah.
Come here. So Mike, go give this to Dave, will you? This is the answer to the trivia question I'm about to ask. So he can, or have somebody screen the phones over there. I've got Dave doesn't do that anymore. He's too good for that now.
He's way too good for that.
I've got tickets to give away to the MTV Movie Awards. This is going to be a cool event. They are live on MTV this year. They will be hosted by Mike Myers Sunday, June the 1st. You get to go and see them live and in person. All the stars show up for this event. It is star-studded, as they say.
That's this Sunday, right?
It is indeed this Sunday, Kevin. I wouldn't lie to you.
I hope Mike Myers has a funny beard.
Listen, he's not going to wear the Love Guru beard at the event. I'm sure he'll just be him.
He sure did on American Idol.
I hope he behaved.
Yeah. He'll be doing that.
He came out with a beard in American Idol? I guess I didn't see that one. I must have missed that
one. He came out in character. He came out as his Love Guru character for the American Idol.
Like Jim Carrey did in the elephant costume?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes. And you guys watched that, a-holes.
Coldplay will be performing as well this Sunday on the show.
How about that?
So if you'd like to go, I'd like to give it to somebody who's a real Mike Myers fan. You know, a lot of people know him from, of course, the Austin Powers movie series.
Right.
Which was a smash hit for him. But I have been a fan way back in the SNL days when he was on Saturday Night Live. Very, very funny guy. So let's see if we can go back that far for the trivia question. On the show, his very funny German character, Dieter, touch my monkey, used to have his own show, the show within the show. What was the name of the program that Dieter hosted on Saturday Night Live? Call now. 1-800-520-1067. First person through with the correct answer gets the pair of tickets to go see the MTV Movie Awards this year, hosted by Mike Myers. Touch it. Touch my monkey. I love that. Make me laugh. Oh, my nipples are erect as a little girl. Always made me laugh. Congratulations, AFTRA. The American Federation of Television and Radio Artists have come to a deal with the producers.
Oh, good.
That means they will not be striking.
Oh, good.
Now, keep in mind, SAG, the other actors union, the Screen Actors Guild, still has yet to come to an agreement with the producers. But we're halfway home, people. So we may avoid an actor strike this summer, which would be good news for everybody in this town because financially, economically, we can't afford another work stoppage.
What about the Film Actors Guild that I saw about in Team America?
Ah! No, FAG is a fictional organization.
Oh, that's
not
real?
Exist.
Okay.
No, that,
Alex Baldwin's the president. No, I saw it.
Right?
Yeah. Thank you.
That was a fictional creation.
All right. We have a winner if you'd like for your trivia question. Yes.
Touch my monkey.
Let's go to Brain, as it's written here in Long Beach.
Brain, you must be smart.
Hi, Brain.
I watch SNL. It's Sprockets.
Sprockets.
Yeah.
Now it's time for Sprockets. Touch my monkey. Congratulations. You're going to see the MTV Movie Awards hosted by none other than Mike Myers himself this Sunday, June 1st.
Awesome. Thank you.
Hold on. We'll give you all the details. You can watch it on MTV, of course, 8 o'clock on Sunday if you're not lucky enough to go. Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Lindsay Lohan is apparently a lesbian.
It's fine,
sure,
but
looks like it.
Couldn't she get a hotter lesbian?
Photos all over the internet of her macking with Samantha Ronson, DJ who she's been linked with before. This happened on P. Diddy's boat. His yacht.
Yacht, there. I believe is what? How you said it. Yacht.
It's spelled right here, Kevin. Y-A-C-H-T.
I think it's yacht.
His yacht in the Cannes Film Festival. Apparently they were going at it, and they're all over the place. Us Weekly Magazine quotes, Dad Michael Lohan is saying that the same-sex relationship is evident to anyone with half a brain.
Vagina.
Is someone arguing? I mean, why does he seem to be fighting?
Dude, she's so gay!
Right, I mean,
listen, it's my daughter. I should know if she's pearl diving or not, okay?
Right, I'm saying all right.
Who cares? You don't understand. It's obvious.
Okay.
She's a lesbian.
All right. We're good with that. We don't care.
Yeah.
She has bad.
It's just a vagina.
Bad taste, but
she's got a big diamond on her finger these days, and people are speculating maybe she'll get married because now that in California it's legal, her and Samantha might tie the knot.
Oh.
Or the cherry stem.
Oh.
Okay.
She does refer to herself as Lindsay Ronson on her Facebook page.
Huh, what's up with that? That's weird.
So,
isn't that something you do? Don't you write your boyfriend's last name on yours when you're like in sixth grade or something?
Yeah.
How about the whores?
Let me see how this looks. Lindsay Ronson. Mrs. Lindsay Ronson. Mrs. Lindsay Lohan - Ronson. Mrs. Ronson. Yeah, it's just
pathetic. What is wrong with this woman?
Just pathetic.
Yeah.
Touch my monkey. Real quick email before I get to celebrity birthdays, because I think this is something we need to address we don't talk enough about. This comes from listener Chris. Hey, Ralph, we need to stop this trend of turning TV shows into movies, and we need to stop it now. They're rarely good. And more often than not, they just ruin the source material and any sense of nostalgia I had for the old show by trying to update it to the modern era and make it edgy and hip, like this new Mr. Ed movie they're talking about. I mean, here I am leaving the new Iron Man flick, and in the lobby there's this giant poster of Mr. Ed starring in some movie called Sex in the City. I mean, really? Do we need to explore Mr. Ed's sex life? What can a horse teach us about sex and the city? I'm just saying, man, Chris. And Chris, I believe you're absolutely right, 100%. We have no need to see that horse in that movie. Because
Do I really have a face like a horse?
Well, sadly, Sarah.
Yes, you do, Sarah. At least that's a Sarah Jessica Parker joke.
See? Because she's
like a horse.
Horse face, horsey.
Hey, she has a big month, Lisa. She's got Sex and the City Friday, and then the Belmont is later in the month. Oh.
Just hope she doesn't break her ankles at the finish line. Aw,
you guys.
I heard instead of popcorn at the concession stand in the theaters, they're selling oats.
Is that right?
Yeah, just big buckets of oats you can eat while you're watching.
How about that?
Saddle up. Today's celebrity birthdays. John Fogerty, 63 years old today. He, of course, the legendary rock and roll guy from CCR and his own solo career. Kylie Minogue is 40 years old today. Chris Ballew of President of the United States of America is 43. The View co-host Elizabeth Hasselbeck turns 31. And rapper Chubb Rock. It used to be my name, my porn name when I was in the industry.
Really?
It was Chubb Rock.
Chubb Rock?
Yeah. He is 40 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Give me that highlight from the end of the game from last night. That very exciting.
Or it gets to Barry. Here's Barry. Fires one up. And that is it. Barry thought he was fouled before the shot attempt. Greg Popovich staring at the officials.
There's the pump fake, and there is the contact right there.
Oh, well. Hate to see that.
I was just thinking, sure would hate to be a Laker fan sitting there in the Alamo Dome or whatever the hell they call their place, surrounded by 20,000 angry Texans. And we happen to know one of them who is there. Our friend Matt Money Smith with the Lakers radio broadcast team joins us on the phone on K-Rock. Good morning, Matt.
What's up?
Don't even start it.
There he goes. So how outnumbered are you as a Lakers fan when you're at a game in freaking San Antonio?
Hey, I'm a damn professional. Don't you call me a fan. I am a broadcast professional.
Oh,
I can actually wear gear and stuff like that, except for those stupid shoes you gave with me to take all over the place.
All right, well, that brings up a good question.
Yeah.
Psycho Mike has the game-winning shoes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He wears them. The Lakers win. He gives them to you. You go to Utah. The Lakers win.
Yep.
What happened on Sunday? Did you wear the shoes?
I did not wear the shoes on Sunday.
Oh, how about that? The Lakers get beat by, like 17 points?
But they were with me. I had them with me.
Okay.
I don't think that's the same, Money.
They were in a backpack with me. Now, just to prove a point, look, they're two sizes too small. I wear them, and I feel like I shrink.
That's fine. But you got to suffer for your art, man.
I understand. I get it. Crown of thorns, right? Here's the thing. I decided not to wear them yesterday, but again, put them in a different bag.
So, you tried to change it up.
Wait a minute.
Changing the rules in the game halfway through.
So you bring them in a backpack, and the Lakers lose 103-84 on Sunday.
Right.
Okay, so then you think, I don't need to put them on. I just need to put them in a different bag. It's the backpack that's cursing me.
That's exactly right.
So you put them in a different
Converse. And the backpack was Adidas.
Oh.
So I thought there was like a shoe conflict. There.
Yes, because the energies are conflicting. That's
right.
True.
It's obvious, right?
Sure. That's you should have seen that right up front.
I mean, I was slapping myself around on the way back to the hotel. It's stupid, stupid.
Wow, I'm glad you caught that.
Yeah, so thank you.
By the way, let's talk about last night's game because, I mean, the Spurs are in a hole that it's going to be very tough for them to climb out of. Let's face it, down 3-1 against Los Angeles. But what a great game last night. And I know Money and I were texting each other back and forth through the game. But, I mean, it was unbelievable how strong the Lakers hit the court, up by 14 in the opening minutes. And then San Antonio, man, they never gave up. They just kept coming back. They tied the game 5 times but never took the lead. Is that right, Money?
That is correct. That's the same thing that happened against Utah in Game 5 at L.A., you'll remember. Utah tied the game 4 times
right,
but never took a lead. And that's one of the things I asked Phil Jackson after the game. I said, is that something that's important to you? You know, the fact that they never had a chance to take a lead after not allowing them to have a lead and, you know, for the entire first half. And he kind of, you know, hemmed and hawed about that. But I do think that's a big deal. I think there's something to be said about a team that falls behind by as many as 14 points that expends all this energy to finally catch up. And
right.
Every time they do, two. You know, there's Kobe Bryant, there's Derek Fisher with a three. Again, increasing, you know, getting it back up to five or six or seven.
Right.
And I think that's, I think there's something deflating about that. You know, you finally make these runs, you have the crowd behind you, and then all of a sudden the Lakers take the crowd out again. And it's just, you know, I think the second time I've made the reference on the Kevin and Bean show, it's the old Sisyphus, you know, just pushing that rock up the hill. And
that's
every
right.
time it keeps falling back on top of you. And I think sooner or later it just kicks your ass.
Money, by the way, with a Sisyphus reference and a Crown of Thorns reference in the same interview. Yeah. You wonder why he's not on our show anymore. Kobe was a little bit hard on himself. You could tell how frustrated he was in that last minute of the game, and he said that he was guilty of some bad clock management that made the end of that game a lot closer than it needed to be. And I think we all agree with that, right?
Yeah, you know, he thought he had a lane. You know, last night, and by the way, the Spurs are great. Around the NBA, you've got franchises now that are moving broadcast teams up because they want to sell those seats down there for big cash. But the Spurs are one of the few that still let us sit courtside. So I was doing stats last night, which gave me the half-court seat on the court. I had a great angle for the entire game, and I got to hear all the dialogue between the players and coaches and the referees. And Kobe really was kicking the crap out of himself for that one because there were still, I think, 15, 16 seconds left on the shot clock. He thought he had a lane, and that is essentially what allowed the Spurs to get that extra possession. That, you know, I don't know. I have a stats monitor, so I didn't see the replay, but the coaches were really bent, Phil Jackson and Rambis and Hamblin and those guys. They thought Fisher's shot hit the rim that went out of bounds to the Lakers, and they were really going at Crawford, who's the bald guy, the bald referee, for that, saying, you know, and he was trying to explain to them that that's not a reviewable play. You know, actually, the NBA does have some review, but it's only for clock-related issues to see how much time is supposed to be on the clock. And the coaches were trying to get that, to say, look, it is a clock-related issue, because if that ball nicked the rim, it resets the shot clock, and it's our ball.
Oh,
with,
I see.
You know, with no shot clock, you know, without the 2 seconds left on the shot clock and 4 seconds left in the game.
I gotcha.
So when that foul happened, I know that's where this is eventually going to go. You know, whether or not that was a foul, the coaching staff was like, well, you know, I think there were a couple interesting calls in the final minute of that game anyway, and that was probably just another one that they just decided to let go.
We were talking about that earlier this morning. Of course, there are a lot of people in San Antonio who said, look, they totally should have called a foul on that last play with 2 seconds left. But Kevin was pointing out that a lot of times the refs don't want to screw with the end of the game. They want to just let people play.
Yeah, that was you know, this is what's so funny about that. And you know, we've had Phil Jackson for a number of years now, and he loves to antagonize opposing coaches. I don't know if Popovich is just an ass kicker or if he's got photos or what, but he's the one guy that Phil really respects.
Oh, really?
And never, if you ever notice, he'll never go at him. So, and Popovich feels the same way about Phil. So after the game, you know, we asked Phil, "What did you think it was a foul?" Yeah, he bumped him. And then we asked Popovich, "No, I thought it was a good call."
Really? Wow.
Opposing coaches taking the exact opposite point that you thought they would.
Well, I thought I would have been mad at Brent Berry because I thought he ruined it. He should have just gone up and shoot. Instead, he dribbles away, tries to get out of the way. He totally ruined it.
Exactly.
9 out of 10 times, that's a foul.
If he had gone up
right
with that contact, he would have three free throws.
Three free throws. You could have won the game.
Could have
That's
won
right.
the game.
That's
yeah.
right.
And
all right.
You know,
well,
I thought they missed quite a few calls. You know, there's actually a backstory here that one of the referees, Joey Crawford, who is the pygmy, just looks like an enlarged pygmy. He's got the bald head. It's very bulbous. And,
yeah.
And he threw Tim Duncan out of a game, if you remember, a playoff game a couple years ago for laughing on the bench. Do you remember that?
Yep.
That's the referee. So very embattled in the city of San Antonio. And I really thought he was kind of making a concerted effort to play to the crowd to make sure they didn't take him out on the way to the airport or something like that. You know, I thought the block by Lamar was a block and not a goaltend. I thought there were two questionable fouls on Lamar. Derek Fisher's fifth foul was questionable.
Yeah.
And look, that's just the way the game's played. And I guess that's, as we were kind of debating it afterwards, I said, you know, it wasn't a foul because they didn't call it. And I know that may sound kind of stupid, but that's kind of what my position always is.
If they
call it a foul, then you know what? It was a foul. If they don't, then it wasn't. And that's pretty much just the way the game is. And I think that's how you have to accept those things.
All right, so it's 3-1. Game 5 is tomorrow night.
Game 5 is tomorrow night.
Is San Antonio out? Not physically, but mentally, is it rough to
to blow a 20-point lead and then to come back, you know, last night and almost win but lose? Is that?
I think the Lakers are the better team. I'll tell you, you know, after they got blown out, after the Lakers got blown out in that game three, you know, I spent 5 days in San Antonio. I was with a lot of the guys. I spent a considerable amount of time with Kobe, and I mean, they were as confident as before any game I've ever seen them play. They were convinced that they were going to win that game four, that game three was not really a 19-point blowout, that they gave that game away, that they missed too many layups, that they turned the ball over on possessions they should not have. And I think they went into that game thinking, look, we're the better team. Powell and Lamar and Fish had off games. That's not going to happen again. And, and you know, they muscled up. Powell and Lamar made it tough on them.
Now, in our remaining moments here, Money, you were in San Antonio for 5 days. Yeah. Tell me, please tell me that you went out to see the world's largest pecan out in Seguin. You did make the drive, didn't you?
I'll tell you, it's funny because it was Memorial Day, and I said, all right, it's Memorial Day. Do I honor our ancestors and go to the Alamo, arguably the site of one of the most heroic battles in American history, on this Memorial Day, where 200 men, including the great Davy Crockett and Sam Bowie, gave their lives, or do I check out a giant concrete pecan?
Well, that's the beautiful thing about the world's biggest pecan is that it's made out of concrete.
Right.
That's not a pecan.
You know what I did? Went and saw the pecan.
Yeah! He went and saw the pecan, ladies and gentlemen.
He went and saw the... You son of a bitch.
All right, how about, did you go see Ralph the Swimming Pig at Aquarina Springs in New Braunfels?
I did not, but I did, though, Bean, you would appreciate this, I did go to the Big Game Museum after I went to the Alamo and saw, I think his name was Dan the Buck, a 78-pound, or 78, yeah, his antlers or something were weighed 78 pounds, just giant antlers from that buck's head.
Good times.
Okay. Well, there's so many great attractions to Texas. I'd hate to think you were there for 5 whole days and missed them all. But,
yeah, and by the way, it's bad enough, and it's bad enough that I went to the Alamo is the players were kind of all congregating one night, and we were kind of just having a couple pops and just talking, and they're like, so what did you do today? Went to the Alamo. What? Come on, guys.
It's weird, by the way, for people who have never been to the Alamo. The Alamo is so weird because it's on a street like... It's like next to a Wendy's or something. I mean, it's just another storefront, basically, on that street.
It is worse than that. It's across the street from the Ripley's Believe It or Not and Wax Museum.
There you go.
And there's hardly anything in the Alamo to see.
How dare you?
It's really just buildings.
Hey, are you guys aware that we're still on the air?
So true.
You guys that are all talking about the Alamo, you guys know we're still on the air, right? We haven't broken for commercials.
I just wanted to get past all that basketball stuff so I could start talking about the world's largest pecan.
Yes.
Maybe, just maybe, my speech to one superstar MVP this season about how important Davy Crockett's arrival as he was shunned from Tennessee and showed up at that Alamo.
Come on.
Knowing
who's with
fate, I said, Kobe, do you understand? He knew his fate. The man knew he was going to die. It's like the gates of Thermopylae. It was 200 versus 2,000.
Stop it. Stop it.
Dennis Miller, we're out of time, but thanks for joining us today. We enjoyed it.
Tomorrow, Staples, then it goes back to San Antonio, possibly on Saturday. What?
I am not going back to San Antonio. They will close that damn series out on Thursday.
That's fantastic. I'm fine with that. I just wanted to point out it's tomorrow and then Saturday in San Antonio and then back. Yeah, at Staples Center on Monday, if need be, but probably not.
Exactly.
All right, Money.
Close it out and watch Detroit and Boston kick the crap out of each other for a couple games.
There you go. Thank you, man.
Always enjoyable, guys. Thank you.
Bye. Bye.
Not to confuse anyone, but 1-800-520-1067, that's the number to call to get on the air live, and we will be doing that next. But we also have a recorded number that you can dial anytime, 24 hours a day, 323-520-AFRO. It's the Kevin Amin Afro line, and I think we've got some of those to play for you now.
You know the dude that calls us and prank calls us and shouts Santa Monica all the time?
Sure, sure.
Yeah. He's got his fans.
This is Santa Barbara! Oh, wait, no. That's not right, is it?
No.
No, it's not. He gathered himself.
This is Santa Maria!
Nope.
One more time.
This is Santa Claus! Damn it! I suck at this. Yeah, that guy's good. And the sun will set for you, Ted Kennedy. In a year, you'll be dead. From that cancer in your head.
That's not nice.
And the sun will set for you.
Wow.
Coming to
He's
Ted.
Doing his own show.
Yeah.
Ted, by the way, is he Ted out sailing?
No, I didn't.
The other day? Competed in a yachting race. He was captain in the boat.
Wow. I thought he had
does.
Cancer.
Does. Competed anyway.
Wow.
Sailing
and
his
it's
own
a,
boat.
It's a way serious kind of cancer that acts fast, too. Yeah.
He's like, screw it. I'm not stopping my life. I'm going to go sailing.
I guess.
What it's going to do, right?
What do you have to lose, right?
Yeah. Hey, Kevin and Bean. What do you call a drug dealer that only sells butt hash? An ass.
An ass.
See, because butt hash.
Has anyone listened to these before we put them on?
We called yesterday to Mexico to find out why they were putting donkeys in jail. And that went really well.
Got right to the bottom of the story.
Oh, my God. They just went on and on. They gave us all the details.
Yeah, horrible as always.
And the calls came pouring in.
God damn it! I hate you guys, you stupid phone calls! Get a ride, Kevin Bean! Hi, Lisa.
Somehow she doesn't get tainted with the Kevin and Bean stain.
Thank God.
No.
Oh.
Wow.
I don't ever want to hear taint and stain in the same sentence coming from you.
And just to get stained with the Kevin and Bean taint either.
That's always funny.
Listen.
Bean can make Not sound even lamer than it is.
It's Bean and then Borat at the very bottom, and Borat does it on purpose.
I don't know why you guys are so hard on Tyra Banks. I actually like watching her show.
It's coming back, you guys.
It's
Dave's
not coming back.
Something.
It was stupid the first time.
I know.
Stupid now.
Then why is it? Why is it coming back? I don't know why.
Guys, bring back Not and Survivor
and I and the Tiger at the same time.
Same call.
And finally,
what's up, Kevin and Bean? You know, it'd be rad if Dave never kills himself. No, seriously. Dave should kill himself. I just want him to kill himself so I could have anything he has said just as far out of my mind as possible. See what I did there? Seriously, Dave, just kill yourself. You're a waste of a space.
Wow. A lot of love today.
Yeah.
A lot of love today. I feel very bolstered. I feel very, very happy. And I'd like to go on. We'll take some calls next.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
What it do, nephew?
All right, get set, Mike and Ralph. Your cue is coming up. Today, for Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew, 1-800-520-1067, you get a $50 gift card from Chili's.
I want my baby back, baby back, baby back. I want my baby back, baby back, baby back.
Chili's baby back ribs. Chili's baby back ribs.
All right, okay. Plus, you get a pair of tickets to any of the following great K-Rock shows. How about the Foxborough Hot Tubs on May 28th? Also, the Flowbots June 8th, Panic at the Disco June 14th, STB June 24th, and Jimmy Eat World July 19th. Your choice of those great shows. It may explain why we have so many calls lined up ready to go already this morning.
Start with Bob, who is calling from Huntington Beach. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning.
What'd it do?
Well, I can't believe that you guys have not taken advantage of the opportunity that keeps presenting itself to you every time you play that movie trailer for The Strangers.
The You've Strangers.
Got the movie.
Yeah, that looks really scary.
Mm-hmm. Well, it looks scary, but the promo, the ad, sounds like it's got a lot of tension. And then at the very end, the woman says, "Why are you doing this?" And Rodney Bingenheimer comes on and says, "Because you're home." I mean,
I didn't realize it was Rodney.
Yeah, well, listen to it. I mean, that's the thing. Rodney's in this commercial, so I'm surprised that Ralph or Psycho Mike haven't picked up on this and given... said anything about it.
Wait a minute, are you suggesting that we do Rodney impressions on this program?
No, not
How
at all.
Dare you?
We just have Rodney stop by from time to time.
All right.
Well, that's a good tip. Next time we're talking to the great Mr. Bingenheim, we'll ask him about his new career in horror films. Thank you, Bob.
You're so gay.
I like to kill people.
If that were Rodney, that would be a way scarier movie.
I know what he's talking about because Liv Tyler in the TV trailer, she goes to the door. She, who is it? And you hear behind the door. You're going to die.
Oh,
Rodney's finally snapped. It's Rodney at Kevin's door.
All right, let's hear that. Omar has it.
Why are you doing this to us?
Because you were home.
Come on! It doesn't sound anything like Rodney. What are you talking about?
Because you're home.
Yeah.
If Rodney were a 14-year-old girl.
And? Rachel in Riverside. Good morning.
What it do? All right, so yesterday I was eating my bag of hot Cheetos, and I found one shaped like a penis.
Score!
Oh, nice for you.
Swear to God, I'm going to sell it on eBay.
No.
Good luck. Yes, she is. I hope you get a lot of money for that, because I will never understand paying money for that kind of thing, but I find it funny when people get it.
I think you can only get money if it looks like Jesus or the Virgin Mary.
If it looked like Jesus's penis, then you'd be in shape.
Yeah, exactly.
How do you know?
Just a generic penis.
I think you should try, Rachel. Give it a shot.
It's funny, because this psycho might call his penis the hot Cheeto.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, he does, as a matter of fact. All right, let's go to Oscar in Covina. Good morning, Oscar. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What'd it do?
What'd it do, nephew, baby boo?
What'd it do?
Going on.
Yeah, I was at the river this weekend, and it was funny because I was on the last on-ramp loading my skis, and some guy comes up behind me and says, "Hey, Kevin and Bean are idiots." And I turn around, and he's wearing a Ryan Seacrest shirt, and I said, "Ryan Seacrest is a fag, and I'd rather listen to two idiots than some fag."
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah. Wow.
Jeez, gosh, thanks for standing up for us.
We appreciate the support. I don't think the F word is very very accepted anymore these days.
And by the way, people don't wear...
He's a fag!
Stop it. No. People don't wear Ryan Seacrest shirts. They wear Ryan Seacrest blouses. He gives out blouses on his show. Yeah.
But thanks for having our back. That's cool. All right, let's go to Mario in Burbank. Good morning, Mario.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, what it do?
What it do?
What it do?
I was in City Walk, and I saw all this Batman merchandise and very little Iron Man merchandise. And it dawned on me, who would win in a fight? You know, Batman or Iron Man?
Batman. Slam dunk.
Stop it.
It wouldn't even be close. It would have to be Iron Man.
Be close. How? Because Batman is so freaking smart. He would put some kind of computer virus or something into the armor, and Tony Stark, without the armor, is just a pussy with a bad heart. That's all he is. And then he'd kick his ass.
Not even.
It wouldn't even be close. Iron Man would just crush him, and it would be over.
He would disable the armor.
You give him way too much credit, Ross. All right. Thank you for the call.
Kick Superman's ass using kryptonite gloves, bitch.
We did have an argument earlier today that was decided by the decider, Kevin Smith.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Indiana Jones versus Han Solo. Indiana Jones would win in a fight.
Yes.
According to Kevin Smith.
Obvious.
We have to accept that. Let's go to Amanda in San Dimas. Good morning, Amanda.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
For a final decision, I think Kevin should go to the Stitch and Pitch with his pigtails and see if a girl will hit him.
And by Kevin...
You should go with your pigtails. That's a good point.
And by Kevin, you clearly mean Bean, who had the pigtails.
Yeah, that was Bean.
Please don't get us confused on that note. I have bad hair. I'm fine with that. I don't wear pigtails.
Yeah. You don't have aggressively bad hair.
Right.
You don't abuse the privilege.
I'm not trying to hurt people with my hair.
That's right. Stop using hair as a weapon, would you, Bean?
Thanks for the call, and thanks to all of our special guests on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, including Matt Money Smith for joining us, of course, on the Laker radio broadcast. You can catch him an hour and a half before each game on AM 570, then the halftime, then the postgame. Lakers play again against San Antonio tomorrow night at Staples Center. Also, thanks to Jennifer Wanger for joining us with the Los Angeles Dodgers Stitch and Pitch Committee. That game is going to be June 2nd at 7:10 against Colorado. And thanks to Ralph's former boyfriend, Andrew Siciliano, for joining us. He, of course, he's got nothing going on. He's just having a very long, lonely summer waiting for the NFL season to begin. And, of course, thanks to the great Kevin Smith as the decider for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show today. When is his porno movie coming out, Ralph? Later this year?
I believe, later this year, the fall. I'm pretty sure.
I can't wait. It sounds very, very funny.
All right, tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to talk to Mark Burnett, finally.
Fine.
Oh, yes.
Greatest reality show ever coming up.
The Jingle Show.
Jingles.
Jingles. So we are going to play him this.
Loving the internet.
Chip. Hanging on every word.
Chip.
Master baiting.
Okay, so you can see that has a great, great chance of winning that competition. Also, tomorrow we are going to give away some more tickets for the MTV Movie Awards.
Mm-hmm.
We got a rousing rendition of Thanks for That Info, Bean. It's been a while.
How dare you?
New internet roundup. And we have a new Cribs. Remember when Psycho Mike went to Doto's house?
Why did I just stumble upon a collection of hundreds of pairs of women's panties?
I don't know what the hell you guys are talking about.
You guys. It's one guy asking a question. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
No one's ever been more guilty of whatever it is that's being accused than him.
I think we just scratched the surface of the dark side of Doto. I mean, when Mike found a bag of knives hidden behind a countertop, I mean, there's no reason for that.
What are in these bags here? It looks like you're hiding something.
It's not.
It's not? It's you not. Mind if we go through these?
No.
What is this here?
Nothing.
Why'd you tuck away some knives behind an air conditioner vent in a nondescript bag? No, seriously.
That's not mine, man.
You don't know whose that is? It's just randomly in your house?
Yeah.
It's like an episode of Cops.
Bag of knives.
It is.
He had a bag of knives. Who has a bag of knives?
Nobody. Just OJ.
Knife salesman?
Any surprises at DeJuan's house? Anything we should look forward to for tomorrow?
That's the thing. Tomorrow there's we got
to
DeJuan.
Look, plenty to look forward to. No big surprises.
No bag of knives?
Just a badass bachelor pad.
Okay.
DeJuan Cribbs, tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Kat Corbett's up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock. Why not stick around for Hammerhead? It's the latest from The Offspring. Also, that great new song from Katy Perry. Have you guys heard this? Lindsay Lohan would love this song. It's called I Kissed a Girl. Have you heard this one yet?
I don't think I have.
Joel awesome Sobule? Is it a remake?
No, different song. Oh, okay. Different song. You'll love it. Also, Muse on the Way, Sponge, Bad Religion, and more right after this on K-Rock.